Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
It is Friday, September 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the family of the five-year-old who vanished from a Bridgeton, New Jersey park issued a plea Thursday afternoon during a news conference asking for anyone with information to please come forward. An Amber Alert remains in effect 5 days after Dulce Maria Alavez went missing. She was last seen just before 5 o'clock on Monday. Police want to talk to a light-skinned, possibly Hispanic male, roughly 5'6" tall, who may have been driving that red van that police have been talking about and was at the park the time Dulce went missing. Through an interpreter, the grandmother released a statement during the press conference yesterday. Please, if you have any information, help us find my granddaughter. Don't be afraid of the police. We have not been able to eat nor sleep. You can't imagine what we are going through. We are very sad. Please help our family. I beg you. Police are encouraging anyone with information to come forward and that their citizenship status will not be questioned. Dulce Maria Alavez is described as a Hispanic female, approximately 3 feet, 5 inches tall, of a medium build. She was last seen wearing a yellow shirt, black and white checkered long pants with a flower design on them, and white sandals, and her dark colored ponytail, her hair was pulled back in a ponytail. And there's now a combined $25,000 reward for anyone who has information leading to the identification or conviction of the suspect. And anybody is asked to call Bridgeton police if you have any tip whatsoever.
So I was watching the news, and the coverage has been extensive, but they're just talking to these three women who are mothers who are driving around trying to ask questions and see if they could help at all.
They said the community
that committed to it.
Pretty sad about this. And they said a lot of people are out and just searching. They went back to, I guess they had dogs out yesterday and they got her scent for about an hour and then the dogs lost it.
I've seen along the highways a few different signs that have said, had the missing persons alert. Does that have anything to do with this case?
You know what? I don't know if that's her because this isn't an Amber Alert and I feel like there'd be more information.
Okay.
But I did see that missing person along the Schuylkill yesterday.
I saw it on the Schuylkill and on the Blue Route on the way to the event last night.
I got the feeling it was a different situation.
Yeah, because they also listed a vehicle in that one, and
it wasn't the van or
the red van.
They said it could be a van or an SUV now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, any information at all, call Bridgeton police. They said that they are getting phone calls, they are getting tips, but they don't know where this little girl is, so they still need more. The final shutdown of Three Mile Island, where 1979's terrifying partial meltdown became a landmark event in the life cycle of the nuclear power in the United States. It's imminent. Yeah. The Echelon Corporation officials said the plant will stop producing electricity around noon Friday, following through on a decision the Chicago-based energy giant made in May after it became clear that it would not get a financial rescue from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Preston, they're giving away the reactor rods if you want to pick some up.
If you're cheap, you come by and make an offer.
Just say they'll be like big bins out front. Just grab one.
Wow. There was a scientist talking about how they dismantle all of this and the money it takes and the time and to discard of the whatever is going to end up being trash and what a process.
Yep.
So the accident that destroyed the Three Mile Island's Unit 2 badly undermined public support for the energy source, no nuclear plant that was proposed after the accident has been successfully completed and put into operation in the United States. As the economics of the nation's aging nuclear fleet have deteriorated, 7 plants, 8 reactors have closed in the last 8 years, leaving 97 operating, although several more are slated to close. Three Mile Island's Unit 1 opened in 1974 and is licensed to operate through 2034. Shutting it down will cut its life short by 15 years, but Echelon has complained the plant is losing money in competitive electricity markets where it contends with a flood of cheap natural gas and renewable energies that benefit from state-based subsidies.
That's why I was going to ask, why are all these nuclear plants closing? I mean, it's still efficient from what I understand, right?
Well it is. In fact, it is. It's a very good source of energy. But as they said, this scared people. There was a plant they were long trying to get built on Long Island in Shoreham. And they were about to do it, but they couldn't. After all of this happened and everything, they couldn't. Everyone thinks of what happens in case of an evacuation. And Long Island is a big peninsula, and there'd be no way to get people out of the area in time. So I think that's the general deal. But yeah, Preston, it's the resources that they're, the other resources that they're tapping into that make this less necessary.
I don't think that they've built any or started building any new nuclear power plants in the country since this.
Right. So Limerick was built when?
It started in the 70s and finished later. But I mean, it takes a long time for them to build.
Right.
But I don't think that they've started any since the accident at Three Mile Island.
There are a couple in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. Limerick. And then there's one along the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. We talked to the designer, remember? Or one of the designers?
Salem? Jersey Shore is not... Oh, like down by Ocean City is... That's a coal...
It has a cooling tower that looks like Limerick's cooling tower, but it's not a nuclear power plant. Yeah.
Right. Three Mile Island also faced particularly difficult economics because of the 1979 accident, left it with just one reactor. After close to 20 years of planning and construction, the all-new Fashion District Philadelphia opened its doors Thursday. The over 800,000 square foot retail space rose from the crumbled remains of the gallery and now promises Philadelphia consumers a shopping experience the likes of which they've never seen before.
Did you see that the escalator wasn't working?
Yeah. Oh, man,
it's so hard to walk up that, like, escalators that aren't working.
Well, they're not. They're not spaced the same way regular stairs
they're
are.
They're not. Yeah. And like,
do you like little steps, like trying to go up?
But even just starting, right? Because I don't even know why, but like mentally, you're expecting it to be moving. And so that first couple of steps, you're like, how do I walk up?
I'm trapped.
Yeah.
Developers are calling the new mall the largest retail experience in Philadelphia to lure shoppers back to the site. Fashion District features around 30 new stores to the city and several locally owned shops.
I'll be there on Sunday with the MM Army from 11 to 1. Yeah, there's a pre-Eagles game pep rally. It's at the Go Birds tailgate, and it's right at the Fashion District, 11 to 1. So just look for the MM Army. Look for the guy on crutches.
Are you going to be around. Inside or outside?
I'm not quite sure yet, so I'll find out. But yeah, it's at 11 to 1. But I drove past it yesterday. There was such a line to get in because I think they had some deals going on at H&M.
Yeah.
I had an appointment in the city during the opening yesterday. There were a lot of people there, but it's cool to see that there's business returned to that area.
I'm excited to go and check it out.
Yeah.
I always think of Fresh Prince when I went downtown to the Gallery Mall.
I only went there one time. I went there specifically in ninth grade to get Z Cavaricci's.
You can go back now and get them again.
You know what?
I went in the retro store.
I didn't get them.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, my God, these are expensive. $50 for pants. So I didn't get them.
I used to go all the time. So my best friend from high school worked there. And so, you know, I would take the train in and you'd get right off, be right there. We'd go shopping, go out with our fake IDs. The mall industry is as volatile as it's ever been, with stores around the world closing brick and mortar locations due to the rise in online shopping. The full shopping experience at Fashion District Philadelphia might still be a few months away, as roughly 20% of shops are still not open. So there's still more to open, more to come there. In sports this morning. Ronald Acuna Jr. became the second youngest player in baseball history to hit 40 home runs in a season. Freddie Freeman also drove in two runs, and the Braves clinched at least a tie for first place in the National League East with a 5-4 victory over the Phillies yesterday afternoon in Atlanta. With 8 games left in the regular season, a second straight division title is right around the corner for the Braves, who hold a 9.5 game lead over the Washington Nationals.
Are you crazy?
The Phillies are on the road again this weekend with a series in Cleveland against the Indians. Drew Smyly gets the start. Game time is at 7 o'clock. In preseason hockey, the Bruins scored once in the second and once in the third to break open a 1-1 tie and held on for the 3-1 win over the Flyers. Brian Elliott started and made 22 saves on 24 shots through two periods, and Alex Lyon turned away 9 of 10 in the third. In Thursday night football, Gardner Minshew threw two touchdown passes, and the Jaguars beat the Tennessee Titans 20-7 in a rainy game in Jacksonville. And the Eagles will look to get back in the winning column when they host the Detroit Lions on Sunday at the Link. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Well, you've arrived. The finish line is in sight. We have a Friday morning heading into the weekend, and we have many things that we're going to sprinkle throughout the show today. For you to enjoy. Part of that includes some money. We got our Money Shark giveaway at 8 a.m., and that is the start of 5 separate times today. You'll have a chance to win.
Yeah, so you're annoyed by the song, but it reminds you of that opportunity to win.
Mm-hmm. So it's coming up. Get yourself ready for that. We'll keep reminding you, and then we'll let you know exactly what you need to do to win that. We give away our Word of the Week prize today, 10 tickets to Dorney Park, plus your entire group gets to ride on their monster trucks. I mean, they've got a 10-person gravedigger.
That's awesome.
Megalodon truck that you can ride in. So we'll get you on board for that stuff. We will give that away today. We also have one pair left. These tickets go on sale officially today of the Hella Mega Tour. So that's Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy. And they're going to be playing Citizens Bank Park. Now, that's not till next August. But tickets go on sale today. It's the new Green Day record sounds awesome. New Weezer sounds awesome.
Everything's good. These are solid bands. There's a big excitement for this show.
Yeah, so we'll give that pair of tickets away at some point this morning. Guest-wise, Dan Soder's going to be here today.
Love Dan Soder.
He's great. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There's an early show that's sold out tomorrow. Keep that in mind. So get your tickets at heliumcomedy.com, and Dan's going to be stopping in a little after 8 o'clock, and our friends at Godshall's Turkey Bacon will be here today, so we'll give away, we'll be throwing bacon all over the place.
Crazy.
Morning. Yep,
we'll be making it rain bacon.
Yep, so your chance to win that as well. So these things and more are going to be taking place throughout the program. We got to recap our party last night.
Yes.
Zeta Ada Pi and Kathy's Pitch Box. Tremendous success last night.
I'd say so.
So we'll take a break, come back in a second. I'll get a trivia question ready for you and roll out the entertainment stories to begin our morning together. So it's going to be coming up shortly. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's see. We have one last pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Jim Jefferies Saturday, October 5th at 10 p.m. at the Keswick Theater for our stupid question this morning. This is an interesting one. I never knew this. There's two answers to this. I'll take either one. Name one of the two stars that didn't have a driver's license when they were cast for the Fast and Furious film.
Huh.
The first one.
Yeah. Okay? The classic.
There were two stars of that movie that didn't even have driver's license.
They get cast in this movie.
About driving.
About freaking driving.
Street racing.
Don't insult us.
You can just give me one of the names. 215-263-WMMR. And if you know both of them, you're going to get one prize as well.
So whoa!
Yep, you still get the same thing. All right, so birthdays today. On Friday, September 20th, include Ben Shepherd of the band Soundgarden. He is celebrating his 51st birthday today.
The band is kaput or what?
I would assume so. Yeah. I mean, I want to say that they've gotten together for tributes to Chris and have played with other people, you know, at events.
That's probably what's going on.
There's no way Soundgarden exists ever without... of course, Chris Cornell.
Yeah, you can never say, well, we'll just get some of those things like Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you did get, I mean, you look at Alice in Chains, who kind of went on, but, I mean, come on. It was just, nobody has come close to having a voice like him in the world.
I think we were all stunned by a recent performance of one Casey Boy Foster.
Oof. Yeah.
But I'm under contract already, Steve.
Oh, you are already? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Whose contract?
The contract here at the radio station.
Oh, yeah. Can't break that.
So, like,
contract.
Yeah.
So Ben Shepherd is 51 years old today. Another outstanding musician, great guitarist from the band Extreme, Nuno Bettencourt.
We were just playing this yesterday.
Rocking it.
The dude can shred, and he's like a gun for hire. So I think he toured with Rihanna.
Yes, he did.
And he's toured with a whole bunch of different groups, and he is known to be a bit of an egomaniac.
Is he?
And difficult to deal with.
Oh, yes. That sucks, because I really like him.
Yeah, he's known to have a bit of a temper, but he is an outstanding guitar player, by the way.
This song is great. Yes. I don't care what anybody says. The video is great, and the parody, or the exact rep, was Jack Black, right?
It's wonderful.
It was spot on.
Jimmy Fallon, right?
I believe so, yeah.
They're excellent. And he celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Nuno Bettencourt. Oh, it's Wholehearted. This is a great song.
Remember this one? I love this song.
This is a great song, yeah. So happy 53rd birthday, Nuno Bettencourt. Kristen Johnston, the actress. You remember her from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yes.
She was also in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. She played one, like a Russian femme fatale.
She's also on Mom, I believe. She made a funny guest appearance on Modern Family. So she's making the rounds. She had she had a substance abuse issue for a while.
Did she?
She did. Yeah.
I have no idea. She's very funny.
And she's great.
52 today. The great Gary Cole.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Lumberg.
Dodgeball was on over the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
I seen a grown man pleasure a camel.
Yeah, that's right. He plays Cotton, the commentator.
Yeah.
I just watched In the Line of Fire not that long ago, and he's the real jerk. Secret Service agent as well.
Yeah, he's like the senior agent.
Yeah.
You're correct. Yeah, he can do straight up drama stuff, and then he turns around and he's Mr. Brady.
Yeah, oh.
From the Brady Bunch movies.
Especially with the house being redone, I think if they brought so they took the original house, the exterior of the house, purchased that house, and now have turned it into the Brady Bunch house. They should have him go out there with Shelley Long.
He should.
Yeah.
I love the moments in those movies where he's dishing out the dad advice. He's like, well, Cindy, when you tattle, you're really tattling on yourself.
Yes.
And his delivery is just, God, it's spot on.
It's flawless. And then they'll cut to Shelley Long as Carol Brady. And you'll just see her like turning her head like,
yep. So Gary Cole is 63 today. Actress Moon Bloodgood.
Oh, yeah. I actually interviewed her. She was on a show called Falling Sky.
Yeah.
She was an L.A. Lakers cheerleader. Wow. And she had a whole bunch of stories about Jack Nicholson firing on her all the time.
Looking at her credits and she was in Terminator Salvation.
She was.
I remember her.
Burn Notice
as
well. And like Steve said, Falling Sky, some of her top credits. Yes, she's 44 today. John Barenthal, the actor, Steve.
Love him. The Punisher.
The Punisher and Walking Dead.
So freaking good.
Yeah.
I mean, a great... did you catch any of the... did you catch the...
a little bit. I did, and for some reason I didn't get caught up in it, but I really enjoyed what I watched.
Jesus,
I watched
good.
The first few episodes.
He's great, yeah.
I really dug it. The nose, broken, you think, or born that
with.
Way?
Really? I'm thinking born with.
It looks like he's been punched in the face several times.
The classic joke is he's got a Roman nose. It roams all over his face.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
And he's good in The Accountant, which is a
movie. He's really good as that. Yeah, yeah.
That we like. So he celebrates his 43rd today. And then legendary Italian actress and bombshell Sophia Loren. Turns 85 years old.
God, I love Sophia Loren.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Let's see if we can find an answer to the question this morning. Two of the stars from the first Fast and Furious film, I heard that.
I tried to make it as loud as I could.
Didn't have driver's licenses. Who were they? You can just give me one if you want. 215-263. WMMR.
We had a late night last night.
I'm going to go to Valerie. Well, I'm reading these spellings. Hi, Valerie, good morning.
Hey, guys, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Valerie, do me a favor. Do you know the two stars?
I do.
Who were they?
Michelle Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
Jordana Brewster.
You are correct. I was reading the names as Jorgana, like Gigantor.
Jorgana.
And Jorana.
Andrea, no, it's Jordana Brewster and Michelle Rodriguez. And Valerie got it right, so Valerie gets a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Jim Jefferies Saturday, October 5th at 10 p.m. at the Keswick Theater in Glenside. And tickets remain for the early and late shows at AXS.com. Got some stories for you. Demi Moore is speaking a little bit more. She's telling it all in her new memoir called Inside Out. And, you know, we've already heard some pretty incredible things about her family and, you know, her
horrible upbringing.
Her stepfather had committed suicide. She had a really bad upbringing, and we didn't know all these stories. But here's another one I didn't know about. She revealed that she and her ex-husband, Ashton Kutcher, had threesomes during their marriage.
What?
And she said that when Kutcher asked her to have a threesome, she agreed. And she said, I wanted to show him how great and fun I could be. And she said the two times that they decided to have a threesome proved to be a mistake. So she
realized that
he's a younger
that's
man.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
And she wanted to just kind of show, yeah, I can roll with this. And she did not like the experience.
I can completely commiserate because my sixth time being a humiliation cuck, I realized.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I realized I am not liking this.
This is not fun.
I am not liking
this. You know, it sounded like a good idea.
Yeah. It was the sixth time where I really turned south when I had that ball gag with the ashtray in my mouth.
Oh, what about the fifth time that made you have a
That was actually
time?
Okay because there was there was hummus and pita.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Those were the two guys my wife was with.
Hummus and pita.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought they were snacks.
Mediterranean, no.
Whoa.
Okay.
High five, hummus.
Hey, pita. Oh, my God. Demi also revealed that in 2010, she saw media reports claiming that Kutcher met a 21-year-old woman while bowling with her daughter, Rumor, and cheated on her in her home when she was out of town filming a movie.
This is interesting.
When she confronted him, listen to this, he brought up their threesomes as a defense. And she said, because we had brought a third party into our relationship, Ashton said that blurred the lines and to some extent had justified what he had done.
I'm going to see that as a won't hold up in court sort of thing.
No, exactly.
That's a bad way out. I have gotten the impression of him as more of a straight arrow.
I think he's,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe on the kinky side, he's...
I think he had his fun.
Yeah.
And he's probably a different guy now.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
You know why I think he's not a straight arrow? Because he has a penis. And I think that...
But you're a good guy. You don't...
Are you?
No, I'm a terrible human
being. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, listen, I wasn't cheating. Remember, I was the cuck.
So, yeah. No, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whatever the deal is, they had this in their life, and she revealed that Ashton cheated twice in their marriage. She also revealed that things started going wrong when she miscarried their baby at 6 months, and several attempts at IVF had failed. And after the miscarriage, she started drinking again, and then she blamed herself on the loss, and it just, you know, she spiraled down.
This sounds like some of these books are just, you know, there's nothing really to it, but the stuff she's been revealing is pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty candid.
They divorced in 2013. Inside Out will be released on September 24th. So,
and this is the book version of the animated film.
Yeah. Which is about emotions. And you can see there's a lot of emotions
right.
in her story.
The threesome in the air is.
All right. Kim Kardashian has revealed that it got very emotional the last time she saw O.J. Simpson in public during an interview.
Was he coming at her with a knife?
On her friend Jonathan Cheban's podcast, Kim said, I think the last time I saw him was in Miami. It was before he had gone to jail in the last situation. And Chloe and I think me, Courtney, and Chloe were in Miami in a club, and we ran into him in the VIP section.
Kim, Courtney, Chloe.
But listen to this. It says, but it was like behind a stage or something. I don't even know what.
The way she tells the story.
I don't even know what club it was at. We all, I think, started crying. It was emotional, I think.
Who are you? I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm. Kim's late father, Robert Kardashian Sr. was a friend of OJ's and served as one of his defense attorneys. And Cheban also revealed that Kim has never really talked to him about her dad's involvement in the trial. And she said, yeah, we never really talk about it. I never really talk about it.
Well, the longstanding legend is that Robert Shapiro took the luggage that had the bloody clothing in it from the murder.
Robert Kardashian.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Where was it, Shapiro?
No, you're right.
Okay.
Got rid of the bag. All these freaking names. Got rid of the bag with the bloody clothing in it from the night of the murder.
She said, we never really talk about it. I never really talk about it. I just, his kids are also amazing and Nicole's kids, and I'm still somewhat friendly with his children. I don't really talk to them, but I did connect with his son a few years back, and I just have respect for them, and their lives must be extremely hard to go through all of that. I always try to keep to myself on that issue and not really bring anything up for them.
So there was also the rumor that OJ was Chloe's dad, mm-hmm. and that Mominger had cheated on Kardashian with
OJ.
Yeah, so all this drama.
Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt opened up about how he reacted when Harvey Weinstein had made a pass at his ex-girlfriend, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Hmm.
Paltrow has claimed that Weinstein sexually harassed her in the early days of her career. In an interview recently, he revealed that he confronted Weinstein, or how he did it. He said, at that moment, I was just a boy from the Ozarks on the playground, and that's how we confronted things. He said, I just wanted to make sure that nothing was going to happen further because she was going to do two films. And I think the interesting thing is that we, Hollywood specifically, but the workplace, men and women dynamics is different, is being recalibrated in a very good way that is long overdue. And I think that's how that's an important story to tell.
Hey, man, calm down. It's nothing. I just wanted your girlfriend to huff one of my farts.
Well, we don't do that in the Ozarks.
Come on, man. We all have farts, man.
Put a towel over
her
and have her lean into your ass.
You're going to like it.
Yeah. Paltrow revealed that Pitt told Weinstein, if you ever make her feel uncomfortable again, I'll kill you, or something like that, she said. And it was so fantastic. He leveraged his fame and power to protect me at a time when I didn't have fame or power yet. So she did appreciate that. The El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, will feature apparently some mystery cameo.
Ooh!
Yeah, according to the
Hollywood. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Joanne Worley?
We don't know who that
is. Harlem Globetrotters?
I don't know who it's going to be. According to the Hollywood.
Mama Cass.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, the film will feature 10 characters from the show, including one played by an undisclosed key cast member who used a private jet to shuttle in and out of Albuquerque without notice. So there's some, and I was running through the cast members in my head. I don't know who it might be.
It's got to be Cranston.
Maybe in a flashback, you think?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll find a way to work him in and then make a big deal out of it.
Is there a cast list up yet of this on?
I don't think so.
Not really sure, Case. I haven't looked.
I wonder if Bill Burr is in it.
El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. I don't know, Nick. Can you look it up?
Is it Doc from Back to the Future?
Christopher Lloyd? Yeah. Or actual, okay.
Only three actors.
Paul, we're making meth. I have a better formula.
Just three actors listed. Not Christopher Lloyd.
Okay.
But Aaron Paul, Charles Baker, and Matt Jones. Oh, and the kid from Road Trip is in it as well.
Oh,
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls?
Yeah.
Was he in the show?
No.
Originally? No.
No,
he's in that little trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, yes, he was. He was an undercover cop.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was in that. He played a very small role. There was a setup on a park bench, and he, yeah, I remember that.
For sure.
Yep.
Crap, okay. I got to go back and watch.
I know, it's forever ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, three or four people last night at the Bitch Box event, some of our female participants came up to me and said how excited they were about Breaking Bad. You reported on it. Yeah.
Okay. El Camino Breaking Bad movie will debut on Netflix 3 a.m. on October
3 a.m.?
Yeah, on October 11th and in theaters in 68 cities before heading to AMC in early 2020.
We have to wait till 3 because it's got to be midnight Pacific time.
Yep.
Right.
So Netflix has released a trailer for its latest thriller, In the Shadow of the Moon. But while the movie may be set in Philadelphia, it was not filmed here.
Ah.
It stars Michael C. Hall, of course, from Dexter, and Boyd Holbrook, who's from Narcos.
Case, it does look good. I watched the trailer, and you're right. It seems to have so it seems to be initially like a serial killer crime thing, mm-hmm. but it has otherworldly aspects to it.
Takes place in Philadelphia in 1988, and Detective Thomas Lockhart, who is played by Holbrook, starts his search for a serial killer who seems to resurface every 9 years with a number of brutal murders. The killings and movie description reads, defy all scientific explanation, primarily thanks to sci-fi elements that include time travel.
Yeah, this is interesting.
So you'll see some stuff in the trailer like SEPTA bus, City Hall, the Broad Street Line, things like that, but they didn't film it.
But in the 80s, didn't they always refer to Philadelphia as Little Montreal?
Sure. Yeah. Philly media begins to refer to the serial killer's slayings as the Market Street Murders.
Ooh.
in the film, and it was made in Toronto.
Who's portraying a young Casey boy?
We don't have the full list of
Christopher Lloyd.
But it's similar to what they did. Toronto served.
I'm in the running away club.
Toronto served as a stand-in for Philly when they made the movie Shazam. You remember that took place in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, we actually have a Philadelphia here.
No, really?
Yeah, we really do. Use it.
And the director, by the way, is a guy named Jim Mickle. He's from Pottstown.
Oh, Jim Mickle. Oh, yeah. Actually, he did a movie I've mentioned before, a vampire movie, a really good vampire movie called Stakeland.
No kidding.
Yeah, really well done.
Okay.
Kathy just got a message.
Kathy just wants
everything
to.
Everything okay?
Yeah, she just wants to listen to some music.
Yeah. Turned over to B101.
Wait, I'm trying to win the prize. Really I'm trying to win Richard Marx tickets.
Can you guys be quiet?
Can you guys just take a break for a minute?
Yeah, my name is R-O-N-A-N-O.
Oh, my God, thank you. I'm so excited.
I can't. I'm at work.
Yeah, please. Yeah. You can't get more excited. Yeah.
Yes. You can't get more excited that you just won tickets.
I can't.
I'm at work.
Yes. I work at WMMR. I do the morning show.
Well, can you go outside and scream?
Kathy at WMMR.com. You can't win this.
You could actually walk one block down and pick up the tickets.
Guys, I'll be right back.
All right. Oh, I'm going to continue.
Okay.
And I need help in memory lane with this because I do not recall this episode whatsoever. It's from Friends. Co-creator David Crane has revealed that he has no idea what Phoebe Buffay wrote for Ross Geller to keep his co-workers away from his moist maker sandwich on season 5 of the hit sitcom. Anybody?
Yeah. Marissa might know.
It was a Thanksgiving episode, and Ross always, unless I'm mistaken, Ross always loved getting the leftover turkey sandwich.
Okay.
And so he would take that into work, and one of his co-workers took it by mistake, or not by mistake, but they ate his sandwich. And Ross lost his crap and went ballistic. Ross was dealing with anger issues during that particular season.
What was written on the note?
That's what
well,
we
here's
know.
The deal. So, David Crane said, oh, my God, I'm standing here going, she wrote a note for his sandwich? I don't know. This is the problem of being 25 years older. I don't have a clue. I can't even make up something. Co-creator Marta Kaufman added, I have absolutely no idea what that note said. But now I'm going to go look into it because I really want to know. So, yeah, there was some note that kept people away from it, I guess, and they don't remember, and people, for some reason or another, are wondering.
The description of the sandwich sounded delicious. It was like a leftover turkey sandwich.
Leftover turkey sandwiches to begin with are great.
And there was an extra layer of bread in there and some grease and mashed potatoes.
Like a full turkey dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a family member in from Sweden this weekend, and in honor of that, we are going to have Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday.
Wow.
Yay.
You guys do Thanksgiving more than anybody.
It's awesome.
Everybody should.
We really should, because it's such a good meal, and to burn it off on one day when you're going to... You can't really savor it.
This is my wife's idea. I love
it. Yeah, I feel like you can't, like, Thanksgiving is so hectic that sometimes you can't quite enjoy it. So, like, a small Thanksgiving in September.
Besides leading up to it, there's always, like, cookies around and stuff like that. So you really should be famished for a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should do it in, like, June, you know? I mean, like, a good distance away from November, but we're doing it this weekend.
What time's dinner? About it.
You can come over around 4 o'clock.
Damn it!
There's another Friends-related thing. I don't know if you want to go to it here. The Google, I sent it over. I don't know if the audio's over.
I didn't see it. What is it?
Yeah, so Google now has a thing in honor of the 25th anniversary of Friends that if you do a search on any of the characters, I believe, or the actors playing the characters, you get sound clips from them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, say that one more time.
So it's the 25th anniversary. When you do a search, this is when you do a search for any of them on Google, these various sounds will play automatically in your browser.
No, it's not set over yet. No.
All right.
We're doing that, I'm sorry. A few people are referencing that we play a sound drop from that episode of Friends. But I don't know what the reference is to.
It says here your winning sound drop is in that episode of Friends. So when somebody wins something, is there...
straight out of Friends.
Yeah.
Is that it?
When someone takes a sandwich, your sound drop is in that episode.
Please be more specific
I don't know what that means.
And maybe we can locate that. All right, while we are waiting, I'll talk about another sitcom.
Yeah, please.
And we can come back to that. But according to Entertainment Weekly, Big Bang Theory stars Maya Bialik and Jim Parsons are set to reunite for a new comedy on Fox. It is going to be called Carla. And according to the network, the show is based on the UK series Miranda. So Carla played by Bialik, is a 39-year-old woman who struggles every day against society and her mother to prove that you cannot have everything you want and still be happy, which is why she spent the money her parents set aside for her wedding to open a cat cafe in Louisville, Kentucky.
So what, do they say what is Parsons playing the love interest? Or
they didn't indicate in this particular article, so I don't know, Steve.
They were phenomenal on Big Bang Theory. Their relationship was so funny, so well done.
They're getting ready to release that entire series on a platform, and I forgot which one it was. I read it the other day.
Is it?
It might be,
CBS.
It might be CBS's streaming service. I'm not sure.
It's possible.
But you know what? That's another one. So I missed. I didn't watch Seinfeld. I didn't watch Big Bang Theory. I watched some of Friends. But now these things are becoming available. And I didn't watch The Office. So these things are all available in bulk. I may go back and revisit these things I missed out on.
The one to start with would be The Office.
I tried, and I did it while exercising, and it was too dry for exercising for me. So I know it's dry humor, obviously, but I would need to do it in a different environment. Lindsay Lohan is reportedly working on a new TV project.
It's called Sick of Figures.
Yay! The show. In an interview on Australia's Studio 10 this week, Lindsay revealed that she is, quote, writing a series that will come out in America.
It's great to be here in the land down under.
She said, almost like a reality show, but not a reality show.
So it's what you might call a scripted show.
Yeah, I guess so. She went on to say that she will play a kind of being a puppet master and will star in the series with her siblings.
No, please, no.
Oh, no. No. Their talent... They're talentless.
I don't even remember.
She's got a brother sister, and she's got a sister. Yeah. And they tried to make the sister's career work. And nothing. Okay. And nothing.
I have these Friends clips.
Okay.
So these will play when you search.
That's my understanding. For the 25th anniversary on Google.
All right. Are we skipping the first one, Case? It looks like it's past.
Let's try.
Here we go.
Pivot! Right. Pivot! Pivot!
What did they say?
It's clearly for pivot. For pivot. When they were pivot. Trying to get the couch up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think it's going to pivot anymore.
Joey doesn't share food!
Okay.
Do you know what that one was, Nick?
Joey doesn't share food?
Okay.
Right. Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Smelly cat, smelly cat, it's not your fault.
All right, one, come on. These probably are much funnier when you're online.
These are hilarious.
You dying over there?
I think those are the ducks in their apartment, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. When they get the chicken and the duck or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. One last one.
There's been a little bit of backlash over Friends.
I've read some of it.
Yeah, people are like, wow, I never realized how terrible the show was. And I got to be honest with you, I can't watch reruns. I've been watching Cheers. And I'm okay with that. And that was like the 80s, and it still holds up better.
Did you watch Friends when it aired?
I did.
Did you like it?
I always liked it. I guess so. I didn't hate it, you know?
Oh, see, I loved it. And I'll watch it today, and I still crack up. It's very bad. It's very dated.
Yeah.
And, but I still love it.
But I'm watching also Seinfeld. Those shows are holding up. Yeah. And then The Office. I mean... It doesn't hold up like those three right there.
I've fallen out of sitcom mode
where
laugh, a couple of lines, laugh, a couple of lines, laugh. I've just like,
it has to be
really good. We had the director, from the Downton Abbey movie, and he directed a number of episodes of Kimmy Schmidt. And that to me is hilarious. There's 30 Rock.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I've been going. My daughter is. She's binging that.
Oh, is she enjoying it?
She is.
Because it's a gem. A lot of people don't realize how freaking good Brooklyn Nine-Nine is.
Andre Brower is so great as the straight.
But he's not.
By the way, some people are texting that The Big Bang Theory is going to be on HBO Max or the HBO streaming service.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
HBO
they're right.
Handling that,
because you don't pay enough for HBO.
Right? Yeah. All right. Let me see. How about this? Sopranos star Jamie Lynn Sigler is set to star as Disney's first Jewish princess. According to Page Six, the character, whose name and image haven't been announced yet, will guest star on the third season of Elena of Avalor. The hit children's TV show is about a teenage royal princess and her adventures in monarchy. And Sigler tweeted, I'm so excited to voice Disney's first Jewish princess. So I don't know.
Is it tongue-in-cheek? Because a lot of times you'd say, you know, Jewish princess.
I have no idea. It doesn't sound like it, so we'll see. Let's see. I have a couple more things. I know we're getting near time to wrap this up. Jennifer Garner has released another hilarious post-dentist visit video. I guess she's done ones before.
I would say it's not hilarious. It's adorable.
Garner tried reciting a classic tongue twister after getting a small procedure done. She had captioned the video, it's just a small procedure, he said, not even a cavity, he said, adding the hashtags num num, sun num, and numity num num with a couple of emojis. So I'm looking at the video of her. Okay. It looks really funny. It looks like Bill that day he came in, Casey, you tried to get him to make some noises. Which was hilarious.
With the hanging lip.
A smile.
There's something really funny.
What is that, though? Because, I just had a cavity filled, and I didn't get like that.
Really?
You had a cavity?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I was so disappointed.
How the hell did that happen?
You didn't tell us either.
Yeah. No, I was I was, such a baby when I went. I was sweating and so
they have to give you a shot in your mouth.
I told her. I was like, I cannot see that. I'm by myself and I have to drive home. If I see what you're doing to my mouth, I'm going to. And she was like, okay. And she, listen, it was like. It was a cavity. I wasn't having a root canal or anything. And I could tell she was like, this girl, is she seriously this nervous over a cavity?
I got to go straight from here to my Botox.
Yeah. And when I was done, I was like, I did it.
Yeah.
Inside,
I've
had
more cavities.
Had more cavities.
I was so happy I got through it.
You're proud of yourself.
Oh my God. And that drill. And then they do some other thing that I do not. I have another cavity from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this other part. And she's like, you're going to feel a little vibration. I was like, what?
Oh,
it was
God.
Sanding of the tooth or something. Oh God. I don't know. It was awful.
Yeah, well, welcome to the party, pal.
Well, but anyway, my mouth didn't get that droopy. I mean, I was certainly numb, but it didn't get droopy and I couldn't talk.
So they must have gone light on the Novocaine with you.
Maybe if it's just a cavity that you don't get as much or something.
Go light on the Novocaine. I want to feel the pain.
No, I don't.
No, anytime I've gotten a cavity, it's whole side of your mouth is numb.
I go to Dr. Petula and she, you could shoot me in the face with a shotgun and I wouldn't feel anything.
You get the gas as well?
No.
I like the gas.
Yeah, I don't get the gas.
Awesome.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll do dental surgery on myself and I'll sit in the closed garage with the car running.
Yeah, different. That's the way to do it.
So anyhow, this video of her, it's pretty funny. She's so adorable. Dennis Rodman has said that Madonna offered him $20 million to get her pregnant. During a recent interview, this is Dennis Rodman, so consider the source.
Heavy stud fees there.
During a recent interview, he said, she said, Dennis, you know that I'm ovulating, and I said, what is that? He said, I was trying to F with her.
Yeah.
And then he said, she asked me that if I got her pregnant, she'd pay me $20 million. That was if the baby was born.
I don't know what's going on when Dennis Rodman's.
That's how he talks?
He's drunk. He's drunk.
Is he perpetually drunk?
He's got a terrible drinking problem.
Oh, man. In that documentary when he went to North Korea. He gets absolutely bombed out of his mind, and he's just a babbling idiot.
And they understood him.
You know who he's bizarrely friends with is the guys in Pearl Jam. They love Dennis Rodman. He shows up at shows all the time. Oh. Yeah, and Eddie and Jeff are both big NBA fans. It's an odd relationship and an odd friendship, but he hangs out with the guys in Pearl Jam a lot.
I remember way back when we had Ed Kowalczyk in the studio. This is at Y100, and it's when they were, still really cranking it out. And he came by and he was wearing this big, blingy necklace. And we asked about it. He's like, yeah, Dennis Rodman gave me this.
Whoa.
All right. So I guess he likes rock.
Yeah, he's a big rock fan, yeah.
Well, that's right. Kim Jong-un hangs out with him.
Yeah,
it's just a blast.
Oh, my God. And that documentary of him going embarrassing himself. And,
yeah.
He's a physical specimen, but he's a good-looking guy, isn't he?
He's not a good-looking guy, but he was, I don't know, he had this thing about him. I mean, you got to remember, he was with Carmen Electra and Madonna and
I'm just saying, as far as procreation is concerned, is that the person you would, you know?
Choose?
I don't know. Yeah.
And then again, remember, it's Madonna.
Yeah.
Who at age 71 is wearing a gold grill in her mouth.
Yep. All right. It's Friday, and there are new movies at the box office this weekend.
Excited
so
about
it is my job to tell you about them. But
as a journalist,
I'm not doing it without the music intro. Thank you very much. We have to set this up properly. We had an entire day, an entire morning about this film opening up today. Rambo Last Blood opens today.
It is the opening day.
It is.
I want to be number one at the box office.
We'll see if you end up.
It's very important from a film perspective.
There's a chance that it will be. It's an action film directed by Adrian Grunberg. It stars Sylvester Stallone, obviously.
That's right.
And a bunch of people I don't know. Paz Vega. Jessica Madsen.
Verp Derpa. Schmidt Spanglar. And Fanga Verhoeven.
Verp Derpa?
Yeah, from Sweden.
I like it, Fanga. Oh, my God.
And Louis Mandaler.
Right. What you need to understand is I didn't need to pay them a lot.
Ah, that's why. So here's what it's about. Rambo must confront his past in order to exact revenge in one final mission.
I'm excited. I'm really excited for it.
Oh, you think you'll get out and see it?
No, no. This will be one. Okay. I might, because I did see Rambo in the theaters. I waited a little bit to let it breathe, but I'd be fine if I caught it at home. You know?
I'm going to see this in the movie theater. I may even go see it tonight. I hope he doesn't die. I mean, they call it Last Blood.
Yeah, this is
okay. thank you for clearing that up, Jimmy.
It would be sad to take this guy, and who knows? But I don't know what we're looking for, Casey. And the critic from the New York Post said it. I think that even the Daily News said it as well. It's so incredibly violent.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
Okay.
In a revenge movie, you want that.
You know what? He'll probably, Casey, they'll probably have him go out. He's just walking around his apartment. He trips and falls and hits his head on on the counter.
Yeah.
Dies that way.
Son of a bitch.
As opposed to all of the stuff he went throughout these movies.
Yeah, choked on a whoopie pie.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'll watch it tonight, and then I'll let everybody know on Twitter whether or not he lives or dies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, why don't you do that? Yeah.
It's an hour and 41 minutes long. So far, it has a 39% at Rotten Tomatoes. Here is the next movie opening. It is called Ad Astra. Now, this has a chance to be number one at the box office, too. Drama sci-fi directed by James Gray. It stars Brad Pitt, Tommy Lee Jones, Liv Tyler, Ruth Negga, Donald Sutherland, and Natasha Lyonne, just to name some of them. And it's about an astronaut, Roy McBride, as he goes to the depths of space to find his missing father and ensure Earth's survival. Rated PG-13, 2 hours, 2 minutes long, and has an 83% score at Rotten Tomatoes.
A little bit of an interstellar feel on this one.
It really does. Yeah. It's exactly what I thought when I saw what they were doing. Now, apparently, it is incredibly scientifically accurate.
Oh. Okay, cool. And then the last movie opening? The Downton Abbey film. Drama directed by Michael Engler, who was in our studio just a couple of days ago, along with several cast members. And there are a lot of people on this list.
Queen are going to visit us.
So,
let's make the place look nice.
Yeah. So they're sprucing up the joint. Rambo's sprucing up the Abbey.
The Abbey! Come in here! Theodore Abbey! Theodore's not spruced up! Spitting on us!
Spitting on you?
Calling this servile? You don't know. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for you to visit.
It's over, John.
It's over.
No.
Nothing's over.
Yeah.
So here, coming down, Abby. Coming in your carriages and your Victorian garb. Making me feel underdressed.
Not wearing bandanas. You're the only one.
I'm wearing a bandana. Yeah. Everyone has sleeves.
Oh, my. Everyone has sleeves. The Crawley family and their staff prepare for one of the biggest moments in Downton history a visit from the King and Queen of England. It is rated PG, 2 hours, 2 minutes long, and it's an 81% at Rotten Tomatoes. So there you go. Your movie's at the box office this weekend. And now we do the clips.
Clips.
I almost said Ghostbusters, but it's Ghost Brothers. Haunted House Guest, a spinoff of Ghost Brothers.
What?
Premieres tonight on the Travel Channel. In this clip, Dalen Spratt and Marcus Harvey talk about where this show has taken them. Here we go. Yeah.
This season is like my first time, or probably majority of our first times, investigating in the, like in the Northeast. So we hit Massachusetts, we hit New Hampshire.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of our cases are primarily in the South, Midwest. A lot of huntings take place in the South. Like your Louisiana, you know, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama's. A lot of crazy stuff happened around there.
Ah, bullshit.
Yeah.
Ghost Brothers Haunted House Guest premieres tonight, 9 on Travel Channel. I'm sorry, well, I'm giggling. Some people were texting in asking for mini Rambo. Oh. Or what we call him, Little R?
Little R.
Yeah. Come over here!
Baby
play
Sly.
The clip. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Can you play the clip you had the other day? Oh, it was hilarious, yeah.
Oh, that was the, yeah.
Yeah, that was Little R.
The sped up Nothing is Over clip.
Nothing is over!
Yeah. All right, you ready, Case?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
That's Little R. All right, we're ready for the next clip. Inside Bill's Brain, Decoding Bill Gates, is a new Netflix docuseries that examines the mind of the tech visionary and billionaire.
You know, he is a Mensa member.
Here, the Microsoft founder explains his motivation to begin his business in the first place.
Mostly, I love software. I do remember at the private school I went to, there were other kids whose families were better off. Like, they had a Porsche or something, but it wasn't that big of a deal. My thing was that I just loved doing software. I loved hiring people. And I was stunned when it ended up being so valuable.
Hi, Grandma.
The first two episodes of Inside Bill's Brain are now available on Netflix. That could be interesting.
He judged wealth as to whether or not somebody had a porch?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. They had a porch or something.
Okay.
It's like, who is obsessed about gardening?
Oh, Todd.
Todd Glass.
Todd Glass, yeah.
Hey, that was his thing. He,
oh, right,
yeah.
If it was nice.
If your yard was taken care of and your lawn was mowed, he figured you were rich.
We had that topic on the show. Like, what did you consider, like...
Oh, fancy?
Right.
Yeah. I think Todd had a driveway envy, too. Yeah.
He actually took some of his bar mitzvah money and paid for a gardening company to come in and manicure the lawn.
He is...
it's in his book.
Well, he's a special breed.
He is.
And, you know, he's OCD, admittedly so. And I found out that, like, what he'll do when he goes and performs at these comedy clubs, like when he goes to Helium, he basically steals things from his hotel room and brings them to the green room to kind of, like, dress them up a little bit.
But
he'll bring them back to the hotel. Or he'll actually go out to, like, Target.
Yeah.
And buy things just, you know, and if you've ever been at the Helium green room, it's not that big.
It's just bare bones.
No, but it's nice. But like he can't perform under those conditions.
Wow.
And he has to go and like, and you know.
What is he getting? I don't understand. Like
just like candles, lights.
It's like in the movie Best in Show.
Yes.
The gay couple, they show up and they're hanging tapestries up on their hotel room walls.
We're here for one night.
One night.
Yeah, exactly.
But he also is not like such a diva where he's like, well, this has to be this way or I won't perform.
No.
He just goes and does it himself.
Right. Just makes him feel better.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. All right, listen, we've stayed way too late. What?
Apparently, Bill Gates said Porsche, like the car.
Oh, I thought he said porch,
it sounded
too.
Like, sounded like right. Porch to me.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Mostly, I love software. I do remember at the private school I went to, there were other kids whose families were better off. Like, they had a Porsche or something, but it wasn't that.
A Porsche.
Porsche,
I guess, but it sounds like
it
Porsche.
It does sound like
sounds
Porsche.
Sounds like a C, like the hard CH as opposed to the SH sound.
Well, they're both nice.
Show them here. Come around. They have Porsches.
Yeah, so I had no idea that Rambo...
And, not hanging out on the porch.
Yeah, so. All right, we got to take a break. We have to. It's already a quarter after 7, and we're just wrapping up the entertainment break. So we'll come back in a little bit. We're going to have Dan Soder in the studio this morning and more things. Get ready. Money Shark 2. Cash giving away. We'll be right back.
More new music. Another huge Philly concert event. Get ready for Green Day. Weezer. And Fall Out Boy, the Hella Mega Tour 2020. Saturday, August 29th at Citizens Bank Park, almost a year away, but hella worth the wait. Join us for a night on the diamond under the stars. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Get details now at WMMR.com, including a concert pre-sale and the skinny on the new music from each band. Green Day. Weezer. Fall Out Boy, August 29th, 2020, at the ballpark from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I want to take a moment and thank Harrah's Casino, Harrah's of Philadelphia, for helping us host a great party last night. It was so much fun. We did the Zeta Eta Pi sorority party, but it was Kathy's Bitch Box event, and they set us up with a fantastic room, decorated wonderfully. The stage was perfect for the fashion show that we were doing. The food was great. The bartenders were all really cool. All the vendors that were there that contributed to the Bitch Box, it went perfect.
It was great. Everybody was so happy. People kept coming up to me saying, thank you for doing this. This is so much fun. There was a woman that came up and she goes, me and my friend have been trying to get together through the entire summer and we haven't been able to. And this was like their event to go to together. And she won tickets yesterday. She had been trying, for the past 2 weeks to get tickets.
That's great.
So, and the vendors were happy with everything. And Harrah's was great. Once again, they made the room look so nice.
Those balloon arrangements. They had the
I love those
Zeta Eta Pi letters spelled out in a balloon.
Right? I don't know why, but just these balloons made it look so great.
Yep.
And thanks to Pancake, he came out and DJed the party and the fashion show. And I just want to say thank you. I went through all of the thank yous last night and I had a piece of paper and I was reading and I skipped over one person and I was talking to her later in the night. It was one of the girls that supplied the jewelry. And as I was talking to her, I'm looking at her necklace and I'm thinking, when I was on stage, I didn't say her name. She was literally in the middle of her sentence, and I was like, did I skip you? And she goes, what? I'm like, when I was on stage, did I skip you? And she goes, yeah, but don't worry about it. So I want to say thank you to B. Ross. It's BBoldBross.com is her website. She does all, Philly-inspired jewelry. I found her through Marissa. Marissa loves her stuff, and that's why she contributed to the Bitch Box. So thank you so much to her and all of the other vendors that came out and Renee James Boutique that did the fashion show.
So the feedback was that the boxes, the Bitch Boxes were stuffed with stuff. People were thrilled with how much stuff they got. Plus, they got booze, if you want to tell them what they got.
They got a full bottle of Stateside Vodka, which had an etching on the side that said Kathy Romano's Bitch Box and then the Preston and Steve logo, which was awesome.
They etched them onto the side of the bottle.
So, and listen, like, not kidding, it's a limited time exclusive bottle. So if you got one last night, even if you drink it, keep the bottle.
Yep, most definitely. And also, when we did the induction into the sorority.
Oh, my God.
So I go around and paddle. We have an official paddle.
As per any induction, right?
So we recite the vows, and then we go around and we just give we spank your butt one time. And I allow you to elect the severity of which, oh my God, look at this video, the severity of which you prefer the spank. And you can do, light, medium, or hard.
Yeah.
The overwhelming majority of women wanted a hard hit. And I mean, I swing that thing.
We could hear it in a loud room.
Oh, it was like, the sound it was making.
One of them echoed. I mean, it was.
Yeah. I was on the other side of the hall. Yeah. And I occasionally you would be talking, and then all of a sudden you just loud.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, these women are taking it hard.
I would say at least half, if not 55-60% of them went for...
I think more than half. To ask for a hard spank.
Why?
You know what?
Because it's exciting.
And they're going to be part of this. They want it to mean something, this sorority that they've joined. The best sorority in the world.
And I think women's tolerance for pain is way up there. A lot of women are. And some kind of find it exciting and titillating.
But I've seen videos where, a smack happens in the hiney, and I don't understand it.
It's not your thing.
Are you talking about in the middle of sex?
Yes.
Okay.
And
smack in the hiney.
Well, is it an enjoyable? Because for me, it's not enjoyable. For me, it's not enjoyable to get to, because I've been paddled. I'm in a fraternity, and I got paddled 3 times very hard. Did not like the first one, the second one, or the third one. And I just don't, I don't, they didn't have to get this.
They opted to, though. I know. It's what I know. Wanted. So, yeah, that's cool.
But you're curious about spanking during sex.
Just spanking in general. Is it?
Your thing is being, is spinning, right?
Oh, God, no. No.
Do you know who used to be into that? I'll say the word.
Spitting?
Spitting or spanking?
Spitting.
Oh.
Barbara Streisand, and she was with a movie producer, the guy. Yeah, and they would, and they talked about it in an interview. They like spitting on each other during sex.
Okie dokie.
It's Barbara Streisand, way we were, Barbara Streisand.
Those cookies last night were good, weren't they, guys?
Oh, my God. Oh, you want to switch? You want to change gears? You want to talk about
Did you ever spit on cookies? Yeah. No, so Carney's, right?
Carney's cookies. Man.
So the girl who runs it is just gorgeous, the Dana. Woman, and she's wonderful. How do you hang around cookies that much?
And look like that?
And look like that. But she's super nice. They were going, and then the other bites, the
yummy bites.
Now that gal's in shape.
Yes, yeah. She is.
She's a fitness gal, right?
Doing the food.
Yeah, she clearly eats yummy bites and not cookies.
Yeah,
right.
But everyone was, and they brought bags to collect up all the samples and stuff. And honestly, if you can support those businesses, because they're really cool to come down and give out all that stuff and participate.
Yeah, the majority of them are all local businesses. Like the woman that did the fashion show, so she's a full-time nurse, and she runs this little boutique just like for long weekends. So she's constantly working.
Yeah.
They're all 90% of them were locally owned businesses. So yeah, it's the blog is still up on PrestonandSteve.com, and it has a list of all of the items. There's pictures for all of them, why I chose them. Marissa helped me do it. She did a great job. So if you get a chance, you want to find out more about the Bitch Box, if you didn't come last night, you can find it online.
Do you think we could get enough for, because listen, so many people want to go to this.
I mean, yeah.
And we do. How many people do we have?
200.
200.
All 200 boxes are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Gone.
You think we could do 500 next year? The thing is, are the sponsors going to offer up that much merchandise?
A
lot.
And if we did do that, we need somewhere else to store everything.
Yeah, not our office. Yes.
We need like a conga line where it would just be, we could lay out the boxes and it'd be easier to pack.
Listen, this is honestly, because we do, the whole idea was initially we wanted to make sure that, because we are so thrilled that we have so many women who listen to us in the morning, and it means a lot. And we do some things like the calendar and, maybe more guy oriented. And so this is a great event. So if we can grow this in that way, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and Steve and I were talking last night. We had a few ideas of how we could grow it. So hopefully next year it will be a little bit bigger. And just one more quick thing. If you do go to the website, you check out that blog on PrestonandSteve.com. Some of the vendors that were there last night are still offering deals, like discounts. Hey Honey is, B. Ross is. There's a couple of others. Wim Jewelry. They're still offering discounts. And, Marinella Jewelry, she knows me so well. Free shipping, she said.
So, there you go.
There's different coupon codes on this blog. You can grab them if you want to do some shopping.
It is funny though, Kath, because people around the office will say, "Hey, maybe I can get a box." No, there are literally
get out of here. Yeah.
I know, and I feel
Rambo.
Come out here asking for a bitch box. Spin on us, just like Barbara Streisand.
I know, and I feel so bad. I want to give, I want to give to the people, but there is not one. I don't even have one left.
I know. All right, but anyhow, it was a great success last night. And Harrah's, by the way, they wanted me to come up and check out their Topgolf setup, but my shoulder, I'm not swinging a golf club for the rest of the season.
I'm thinking of doing it the way. I'd rather do that where not a lot of people are looking at me.
Yes, yes.
Then go out on a golf course.
Yeah. But anyhow, they have a lot of stuff there too. So thank you to everybody involved. It was a great time.
It was fun.
Oh, and you know what? I'm sorry, real quick. Christopher Kerr's photography, he's working on the photos. He was there last night. So when we get all of those photos in, we'll put them up. There'll be a whole gallery of our party last night.
Oh, and Nick, do you want to thank them for your jazzy scooter last night?
Harrah's is awesome. They're so nice. But they set it aside for me. They took it from an 85-year-old woman.
Right,
of course. She didn't really need it. Yeah.
She didn't even struggle when they put the pillow over her face.
Thanks, yeah.
Nick, did anybody notice? I was the only one on stage, but Nick actually rammed it into the stage.
I felt the stage shake.
I tried to take that turn a little too hard. Yeah. And, but it was really nice cruising around in a scooter again. Ooh. I enjoyed that. I look forward to old age.
Nice. All right. Anyhow, next time we'll try to make it even. We'll see if we can do more invites. Yeah. We'll have to see about it, but we'd love for you to be there.
You guys ever heard of something called cuffing season?
Yes. It's like we were talking about cucking before.
Yeah, it's the same thing. No, I've never heard of cuffing
season. I have not heard of cuffing.
What is this?
It's a relationship thing.
Oh, my
so
God.
So cuffing season is when it gets chilly outside and you want to begin a relationship so you have someone to snuggle with.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you for the express reason, because it's chilly out, you want to cuddle with somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the most superficial.
Come on.
Buy a sweater.
Yeah.
these names
you pathetic.
Are ridiculous.
Cuffing.
Now there's one called fielding season because it says this article.
You want someone to do your lawn?
This article starts with, you've likely already heard of cuffing season.
No.
But have you ever heard of fielding season? Apparently it's the opposite of cuffing season. An Urban Dictionary says it officially begins in late May and ends sometime in September. During this time, people like to keep it cool and play the field.
Well, okay, so we just had this conversation. So I've got two friends. One of them recently became single, and she met this guy at the shore this summer. And
is it the slut?
No, it's not the slut.
Oh.
And she was, like, really into him. And my other friend was like, look, knock it off. He is not going to date you right now. It is the summer. Wait until September and get back in touch with him in September.
All right, I see the dynamic
that
now.
That was her advice.
Okay, because of this, you want the freedom of the summer, but as you get into colder weather, the likelihood that you want to be out and playing the field is diminished. You want somebody to do holiday stuff with.
Right, to like hang out with.
Okay.
You're not out as much. And I think it's also like shore versus, you know, back in Philadelphia where they're at the shore, everybody's partying, they're out and about. And she was just like, look, he's not going to like settle down right now.
Okay. It says cuffing season is widely considered to begin in October.
Rabbit season.
No.
Duck season.
Cuffing season.
Cuffing season.
Rabbit season.
Duck season. Cuffing season.
As far as field season being a real thing, previous research has shown that people are more likely to go on dates in the summer.
Well, we also have heard, and as these things go, when I was dating, I never, you know, I didn't notice trends like this.
No,
but
I
know
either.
That. Like, after the holidays, a lot of people break up.
Uh-huh.
Or before,
they don't have to buy presents.
So they don't have to buy presents. There are all these different benchmarks in relationships that occur that I haven't had to worry about for decades.
Here, I'm going to go to a caller. I have Cody on the line. Hi, Cody.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, so I just wanted to, like, kind of like put in there that cuffing season is more for, like, if you're alone for the holidays and I'm alone, like, let's both be alone together. It's like,
okay.
Not necessarily the cuddling. It's more like, you know, let's spend Thanksgiving together. Let's spend Christmas together.
You're surrounded by so many other couples.
Yeah.
That you're just like, hey, look at you and me. We don't have anybody. Let's just be together for now.
It's like cucking season, as I said earlier.
Like that. And you exactly sit in the corner and watch.
Watch this. Yeah. I'm away with your wife.
You see this?
Yeah. You couldn't do this.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You've had friends with benefits, yes? That's what this seems like.
Yeah.
Like a, let's keep it casual.
Yeah.
Were you able to maintain that casualness?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It can be problematic if one party begins to...
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It rarely stays casual because one party is not going
throws
to...
Throws off the dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's complex. It's not, you're talking about the friends with benefits thing?
Yeah, yeah. The cucking thing. I want to play.
It can be complex. And even, I remember the person that I did have as friends with benefits, it was never really even discussed, really. It just kind of,
just
we both
was.
Kind of just knew, you know?
I had a situation, I've had it where I had... there was a girl, and we were straight up about what it was from the beginning, but it started to morph with her into wanting more. And I you know, in the most delicate and I hope respectful way, I just it's probably better that we not hang out because it will only exacerbate the issue. And I think I played that right because. Later on, she was in a relationship that went asunder,
and
she went loony.
Oh, wow.
Well, that can happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I did have a guaranteed booty call, and it was clearly told to me.
That's it.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Really?
Anytime you want.
Yeah, well,
I was like, really?
Anytime you want.
That's nice of you.
Aww.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen,
so
I want you to know anytime you want, except at 2 o'clock, because that's when I eat dinner.
Listen, you got to take what she can get.
No, listen, it's
long as there's still blood hitting all the.
Yeah. As long as it's warm.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my dry. God.
You just. Dry. Yeah, Preston, you just take a meat thermometer with you.
Wow.
Sorry, Maude, I have to check. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. He ruins everything.
Wow. I know. God bless him.
Does that feel good?
Here, let me take my teeth out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let me go to...
Yeah, go to some...
Make it extra snappy.
What, am I out of my mind because I wouldn't want a woman to take her teeth out?
Okay. No, I think that's...
I made them extra sloppy, please. I know how you kids like them sloppy.
Anytime. Kristen had that on.
Oh, call. God. Jake's on the phone. I'm going to go to him. Hey, Jake.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's no problem, man. What's up?
So, cuffing season. I know a guy about 10 years now, and in June, whatever girl he's with, he cuts it off. He plays the field all summer long. But then in September, it's like his mission, and he has to find a chick by Halloween. Wow. And if anyone will do, he doesn't care, but it has to have that chick for the winter. I don't understand it.
How old is this guy? How old is he?
He's about, I guess, 40-ish.
You would think would be past that.
Yeah.
I would say this, with your situation, your friend Jake, is that it's okay to do that if you are upfront about it. You know,
with
I'm
the
saying?
Person that you're,
yes,
yeah,
you know,
you're hooking up with?
As you start to do it,
yeah,
especially if you have a game plan,
right.
Be honest, and then.
He prepares too. Like it's like he buys new clothes. It's crazy. Like he prepares like a deer hunt. I swear that's how
really.
It is. Is he handsome? Is he a good looking guy?
Yeah, I mean he's in shape. Like he works out and all. But it's just it's crazy the obsession he gets with finding a new woman for you know the winter.
For the season. Wow.
Has he ever had a long term relationship?
I think like 2 years might be the most.
And when does it end? How long do they last?
Typically into like
during May. Rabbit season.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
Yeah.
No, till summertime, right?
Yeah, around May and maybe in June, but then that's
it's that summer thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he never goes back for the same kill?
No, it's always something new. He lives in New York, so I mean, there's like a million people.
He's like Ed Gein, Preston.
Oh Jesus. My God! Actually, hangs him up. In the,
yeah,
that's nasty.
I made venison for you.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. Well, I guess this has been around for a while. That guy's been doing it for ages. All right, so we're talking friends with benefits. I'm going to go to Ben. Hey, Ben, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I was just calling in. I actually had a friends with benefits that went well. You guys were talking, you know, it is hard to maintain.
Yeah.
But if you set rules, it can work. Mine worked for 2 years.
Wow. All right. And while this was going on, were you in a committed relationship with someone else or were you just kind of dating here and there?
It was almost like the friends with benefits was kind of the committed relationship. Like it was when we were in college. So we both had other things going on at college, but we would come home and we were home at the same time.
Okay.
I had that for a brief period where it was the relationship, but it was, we both knew it would not go. It was not, we were not the people for each other.
Yeah, you both knew.
When I met my wife, I knew.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
I think rule number one of said relationship, friends with benefits, is no cuddling. I swear to God, I'm like not even joking. Like when
you
act
do it and then somebody's got
to
go.
When the act is over, no, you don't necessarily have to go, but you can't lay there in each other's, you know.
Linger in your loveliness.
Yeah. It's, all right, let me go get a towel, and then let's talk.
That was wonderful. I just want to stay here and be with you.
Twirl your hair.
Sing you a song.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend who knew that's what she was. Like, she was the, it wasn't even friends with benefits. They weren't even friends. Like, she just straight up knew.
She had a 401k.
No, she was the booty call,
well,
you know?
So was he,
is this
though?
The one that...
This isn't the slut.
Okay.
No, not that.
Oh.
The football player.
Oh, no, that was a whole different story. Let's not talk about that.
But he was.
That's a great story.
It is a great story.
I love her. She's
call
so sweet.
Call it what it is. He was the booty call as well, Kath.
No, he was involved.
So you know what, Preston, that song, I Can't Make You Love Me If You Won't, that your sister goes,
yeah,
nuts for. Yeah. That's that song.
But
that's
basically it. What I was going to say was that she knew what it was. He would call. We would be sitting at a party. It was in college. We'd be sitting at a party, and she'd be like, oh, it's so-and-so. And we're like, are you really going to go? Like, you're going to leave? We're hanging out. It's early. And she's like, no, I'm going to go. I'll be back in a little while.
Yeah?
Like, it is what it is.
I can't help it. It's like a moth to flame.
I got to go. But was it the sex? She enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, it's all right.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, even though she's taking the call, I mean, it's sort of, he's the booty call as well. You know, she's just.
I
understand. Yeah. Even though she's taking the call, I mean, the relationship, what I'm saying here is.
Like, she didn't want anything out of it either. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So
But neither of them were really attached to each other.
Yeah.
They were F buddies.
Yeah.
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 I did have to go with her a few times to get things that she forgot at his house.
Oh. You were the cuck.
Like underpants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit in the corner and watch.
Forget
or
underwear.
Her favorite bra. It was her favorite one.
Her favorite one.
Yeah, she couldn't leave it there.
No. It's her lucky bra.
Interesting.
Sign this.
Wait, and he used to put it in like a plastic bag and it'd be like hanging on a store.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
If he wasn't going to be there when we went by, yeah.
It's like the way Batman prepares to go out. You know, you know, if they do the quick montage, the bra being clasped.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, interesting. All right, apparently cuffing season is beginning soon.
To be honest, I thought it was something more revolting, but cuffing is a little bit more benign.
I think it's going to be too warm this weekend for cuffing season.
It will.
Yeah.
It's going to throw off the whole mating process.
Yeah.
But cucking,
right.
It's going to be beautiful.
There's always room for cuffing. Cucking, as Bill Cosby used to say.
Yeah, that's right.
There's always time for cucking. As long as there's Benadryl.
Yep. All right. We have to take a break, and as we are taking a break, I'm going to give away some turkey bacon. Our friends from Godchild's are here, and they've cooked up a bunch of food, and we're going to serve it up for our in-studio guests. We have a six-pack of coupons good for six full-size packages of Godchild's turkey bacon, and we'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. Look for Godchild's in new, easy-to-read packaging in stores now. New packaging makes it easy to see their turkey bacon. Has 80% less fat than pork and the same great wood smoked taste. So give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. Come back in a little bit. Dan Soder's going to be here in a while. Money Shark, Bizarre File, that stuff is up next.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station.
MMR's Money Shark.
Let's do this. Let's give you $1,000. And remember, you can't win if you don't play. If you don't play, you can't win. Blah, blah, blah. You know the saying, but it's true. You need to enter in order to win. So I'm going to tell you how you can do it three different ways. This hour's keyword, by the way, in the Money Shark Nationwide contest is bite. B-I-T-E. Like I'm going to take a bite out of you. All right. You have until 8:15 to enter it via text. Here's one of the three ways to do it. Via text at our special contest short code number 45911. So you text the word bite over there. Now, if you want to enter to win the possible grand prize of $10,000 as well as $1,000 today, enter via your MMR mobile app, which is free, mind you. And also, the contest page at WMMR.com can get you entered for the $10,000 grand prize. But again, the word is bite. And we're going to call you if you're randomly selected. And you win $1,000. How about that? Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Good luck from Horizon Services and WMMR. It's BITE, B-I-T-E. Let's do the B-File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning, our B-File is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases. And absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware, Diamonds. We'll start with this one. A strange story. A man got punched repeatedly after declining a passers-by wee hours offer to take a swig from a bottle of his booze.
So he got punched in the face?
Yeah, so here's the deal. About 1 a.m. Friday, a 39-year-old resident was smoking a cigarette on his front porch. A man on foot approached with a bottle of alcohol and told him to drink it. The resident refused and instead directed the stranger to leave. The interloper punched the resident repeatedly before walking off.
Now, that wasn't all that this guy got up to. So two witnesses corroborated the victim's account. One of the witnesses said that he had seen the stranger minutes earlier on the same street making very strange movements with his body.
Like helicopters?
Maybe. Yeah. So the stranger also... The stranger also insisted that the two have a dance-off, but the witness declined. As deputies looked for the attacker, another man encountered the stranger who attempted to dance with him before doing somersaults and rubbing mud on his own face.
Rag him. Rag him. Yeah. Rag him. Rag him. Rag him. Rag him.
And
rag him.
The stranger rag him. Rag him. Also tried to trigger a fight by repeatedly urging, "Let's spar. Come on, man."
I like to dance off.
The two eventually ended up fighting before deputies broke them up. And when the stranger resisted deputies' effort to handcuff him, he was driven to the ground by a deputy. A deputy ordered him to stay down, but the stranger kept trying to rise up to his feet, repeatedly claiming, "I'm programmed to get up." They eventually handcuffed him. It was a 29-year-old man and transported him to the county jail, and he was booked on some misdemeanor charges. So.
There might be some mental issues there.
Maybe, maybe.
Not unless he's really an accomplished dancer.
A 41-year-old United Kingdom man is getting very candid about an experience that nearly cost him his manhood. Elliot Rossiter of Bristol, England, said that he was visiting friends in France when he suddenly developed an erection, but he was not aroused at the time. He said, "We all just sat around and it just came on, and I tried to get rid of it, but I couldn't." And he said,
"Oh my God, these are great appetizers."
He said, it wasn't sexual in any way, and I wasn't feeling aroused. After 19 hours with no relief.
A 19-hour boner?
Yeah, a friend took him to a local clinic. His penis was injected with anti-inflammatory and steroid medications, but Rossiter remained rigid. He said, "I could barely walk. I was doubled over in pain." Oh. He said it was absolute agony.
"Fortunately for you, we have our leading tallywhacker man on duty."
He said,
"Look, he's got a boner."
That was the assessment early.
He said, "I was terrified. I thought it would never go away. I've never experienced anything like it. It was bigger than usual and wouldn't stop throbbing."
So far, there's a lot of checks in the positive column.
Well, yeah. No, but except for the pain thing.
The pain thing is the bad part.
He said, "I couldn't let any clothes touch it. That's how painful it was."
Wow. Yeah.
You have a massive erection.
He was then rushed to a local hospital, and doctors there diagnosed him with priapism, which, of course, we've heard of.
Ooh.
He required surgery to alleviate the condition. They basically said, he said "My penis would die if I didn't have an operation."
Come on, live!
The blood had just collected and it wasn't draining away. I was very scared. If left untreated, penile tissue can be seriously damaged or even destroyed.
Did they use the paddles on it?
They had to drain the blood inside.
Ooh.
The surgery was successful, though Rossiter was left with two small scars. As a result, his manhood was saved. There are three main types of priapism. Ischemic, recurrent, and non-ischemic. In most cases...
And party.
Are ischemic... which occurs when blood is not able to leave, and the causes of that may vary, but certain medications, such as antidepressants, blood thinners, medications used to treat anti-deficit hyperactivity disorder, and those used to treat erectile dysfunction, among others, can lead to it, and illicit drugs such as cocaine and ecstasy can also cause it.
When they drain the blood, do they reintroduce it back into the body, or do they just extract it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Apparently, Rossiter had developed, at the time this happened, he was overcoming an addiction to pain medications that he had first started using following a skiing accident. So it may be that, but they're not 100% sure, but it was nasty.
Oof, that sounds excruciating.
A Delta Airlines pilot had to make a rapid, controlled descent of nearly 30,000 feet after getting an alarm on an Atlanta flight. That while flying to Fort Lauderdale Wednesday night, what happened was that the pilots learned, of a depressurization issue.
So the seconds are critical, right?
Yeah, so they deployed the oxygen masks for the passengers, and then they made the controlled descent, which had to have terrified the people because even though it's controlled, they go down really, really fast.
Yeah.
So it was diverted to Tampa, where they landed safely. Passengers described panic as they grabbed for the oxygen masks. One of the passengers, Harris Dwoskin, said one of the flight attendants grabbed the intercom and was repeatedly over the intercom saying, "Do not panic, do not panic." But obviously, it's a hectic moment. So the passengers around me, a lot of people were hyperventilating, breathing really hard. Another passenger said he was so scared by what was happening, he told his family he loved him and hugged his son.
Don't panic as you
breathe through your oxygen mask as we plummet towards the end.
So Delta said the aircraft is being evaluated by maintenance technicians to see exactly what the issue is.
I apologize for that little situation. hope everyone's doing fine back there, and we know you could have selected a number of different airlines today. We appreciate you choosing us.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
All right. And
if anyone needs to wash out their pants, the laboratories are now open.
All right. And then one more quick story. Dryer lint from across the United States is to be gathered or was set to be gathered in a ball yesterday in Farmington Hills, Minnesota, in an attempt to set a new world record.
I would like to be a part of that world record.
There's got to be other stuff going on in Minnesota.
The prospective new record holders had planned to celebrate by setting the lint on fire when they were done with it.
That seems like it's very eco-friendly.
This is according to Dryer Vent Wizard.
Al Gore put this together.
A dryer vent maintenance and repair franchise.
Right. Well, you know, it's dryer lint that causes a lot of house fires.
Yeah, yep. My friend's house burnt to the ground.
No.
And they said it came because from the lint in the dryer and that he didn't have yearly cleanings of the you know, whatever you have to clean behind the dryer.
Oh, I didn't know you were supposed to do that.
You're supposed to do it because it builds up and it can cause a fire situation.
Yes. I will say that one of the simple pleasures in life is pulling the lint off of the lint trap.
Yeah.
It's really like the laundry room's version of cotton candy.
Yeah.
We will save it sometimes and use it as a kind of a primer for our fire pit.
Oh, that's smart.
Really?
To help get things started.
That's how easily it sets on fire.
You need a little kindling. Yeah.
Should have sent it to Minnesota.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even think that. Well, many largest ball Guinness.
To Minnesota.
Wow, you're into dryer lint?
You're the dryer lint. I'm the fire.
Get out of Rambo Day. And I use Cobra as well.
Many largest ball Guinness World Records have been set, but this would be the first largest ball of lint. To set an official record, the ball must weigh at least 99 pounds, but organizers expect it to weigh closer to 1,000 pounds. If successful, the lint record would join other largest ball feats, including the largest paper ball, which is 426 pounds. The largest ball of stickers is 231 pounds. Largest ball of human hair is 167 pounds. And largest rubber band ball is over 9,000 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
These are all American records, right?
By the way, I'm not sure.
On to curing poverty.
Dryer Vent Wizard began collecting dryer lint in April from the company's 95 franchisees. Serving 9,000 communities across the country. So they have access to loads of dryer lint. And part of the...
You want lint?
By the way, the record attempt is part of an effort to raise awareness about the dangers of dryer fires.
So, okay. See?
So that's why they're
That's a
it.
Good thing, then.
Yep.
Hey, can I ask you a question? I just did. I'm going to ask another
yes.
one. Is today the day that they were talking about storming Area 51?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
This whole weekend.
All right.
But that has now changed to a party.
Oh.
Like yeah, like a Burning Man kind of thing, yeah.
And everything, yeah.
Okay.
Why you ask?
Well, I just wanted to know if people are actually stupid enough to try to do that.
Have you ever been near Area 51?
No.
I have.
Is it cool?
You don't see a lot.
Okay.
You see signs, and you can get nowhere near.
It's a desert.
Yeah.
And they just keep you out.
That's so it.
You're not going to get it. There's not much to see.
The same way, folks. If you go to some businesses at night and they're closed, it says keep out.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
All right. We should take a break. Is Dan here yet? Is he going to be here
shortly? He should be here very, very shortly.
All right, we have Dan Soder who's on the way. I want to remind you, you have like 3 more minutes to enter the word bite for a Money Shark contest. And you can text it to 45911, or you can enter it using the MMR mobile app or the contest page at WMMR.com. But just a couple minutes left, and we'll call you if you are our randomly selected winner. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. It's no secret. We love having our next guest on the show. He is here to play Helium Comedy Club. A couple of shows tonight, two tomorrow. I think the early show is sold out tomorrow, so a heads up on that. Please welcome Dan Soder. Yeah.
Good to be back. Wonderful. Love coming back.
Excellent, man.
I love being in Philadelphia.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Nice. This is one of my favorite places to do comedy. That's why I did the hour special here for Comedy Central.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Love coming to Philly.
You have a special coming up on HBO?
Yeah, we're recording it in October in New York.
And it's to air in December?
Hopefully, yeah.
That's awesome.
We'll see, I think right now they're hoping to do it December 7th. Big Jay Oakerson's birthday.
Yeah, nice. So let me ask you, with all the avenues to get your specials out on, HBO still has a special prestige to it, right?
That was the one.
Yeah,
that was
the one. Yeah.
That was the only thing I think... As you do comedy, I think you grow callous to stuff and stuff stops meaning as much.
Right.
But then HBO is still HBO, and it was like, you know, I've known I've been doing the special for months, but it's still surreal.
Yeah.
Still surreal to be like, oh, yeah, I got to do an HBO hour. I mean, most comics, I'm this way, but I'm always like, I suck. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
You're just like, now everyone's going to think I suck. And everyone's like, no. But yeah.
If you're not doing that, I think I would rather be that way than think I am awesome.
Well, those people don't tend to go far.
Right.
Because you see their comedy and you're like, oh, my God, this is what you think is funny?
Right. Yeah.
Do you ever perform back?
You're more Showtime.
Yeah. Showtime.
Do you perform back at home at all?
Yeah, Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Colorado? They have a great club, Comedy Works.
Yeah, so do you, I mean, you've been doing this a long time, but if you see your name on a marquee, especially at home, does that do anything for you?
Or? Nothing.
No?
Nothing.
I'll tell you what screws me up is doing shows in Denver, and you just look in the crowd, and there's like a kid you haven't seen since like ninth grade, you know? And you're like, is that Mitch Clary? And then you're just like, so dating's weird. Is that Mitch? And you're just throughout the set coming back, and you're like, and that's how, what the hell?
Did you like when you were starting out? Because for the time that I did stand up, hey, we'll come down and see you. It's like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah, I had a weird thing where I think a lot of people when they start stand up, everyone around them watches them suck, so they stop caring. And that's important for a comedian's growth to deaden whatever tissue is around you. So whoever loves you, it's like watches you and they're like, ah. And they do the same thing. They go, you did it.
It's the worst.
So there was like this weird stage where because I moved from Denver when I was 18. I moved down to Tucson at the University of Arizona, and that's where I started comedy in Tucson.
Right.
So I sucked in Tucson, and then I went and sucked for years in New York.
Right.
And so when I came back to Denver and did stand-up, I was kind of just mediocre to a lot of the people that are around me, and that hurt worse.
Right.
Because they're just kind of like, I laughed at some of the stuff.
You did it.
I'm headlining. I'm headlining now. I have a half hour on Comedy Central. And just seeing your friends, they're like, I just think you're funny when we're hanging out. You're like, shut up. So they didn't get to watch me.
How long can you suck for as a comedian? Because
I know a lot of people that have been sucking for over 15 years.
Right. So, and you know,
if you want me to name names, they went after my boy Shane. I'll give up a lot of people. I'm willing to turn. There's a civil war brewing in comedy.
Believe it, man. Yeah. I caught an interview with Bill Burr not that long ago.
The best, the god.
And he was just going on about how brutal it can be in the club of comedians. Not a comedy club. I'm just talking the group of guys with each other and how cutthroat it can be. You guys can be brutal to each other.
Oh, yeah. That's if you like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you like each other, it hurt. Someone can hit you on a level where you'll walk around with it for weeks.
Yeah.
Just something like the way you move your hand. And like, why do you move your hand like that? You're like, shut up. And then I'm in an airport in Detroit and I move my hand. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Got to me.
You.
Uh-huh. Just climbed right in my head.
Yeah,
that's a sign of a good friendship.
Okay.
If I don't, wow. I always tell MCs, like, if I don't make fun of you when you bring me on stage, I don't like you. And that's, you know, that's not a good sign. If I can't bust your balls.
And you and Jay have a great friendship.
Yeah, Bonfire.
Yeah.
Monday through Thursday.
So we've known Jay for a little bit. I think we met him before we met you.
Yeah.
I love him. And in fact, I think I prefer
his crowd work over anything else.
Well, what you do is, with, I mean, when you watch Jay, he's the one of the funniest people in the world.
He's just like you. And I'll pay the same compliment to you. Yeah. There are people who are intrinsically funny, and you guys are.
Thank you.
And that ports to whatever you're doing.
Yeah, but Jay's just the guy where, I mean, I do 8 hours of radio with him, and as you guys know, that you do a lot of time, and if you're not having fun, it's a long time. But every single week we've done the Bonfire, just feels like, oh, wow, we're done, because Jay's hilarious, and you see it with his crowd work right off the top of his head. He can ask a question, it'll lead to a story you never thought you were going to hear from this person. You know, this is hilarious.
He's been at events that we've hosted. He's been, you know, kind enough to come out and contribute his time, and we've seen him go out with no agenda at all.
Yeah, and kill.
Just kill it.
Kill. Yeah. Just ask one question.
It's an unbelievable talent.
You mentioned the Civil War. I follow a lot of comedians on Twitter, and it's been a really interesting few weeks. And I think it kind of started, well, I don't know where it started, but the Chappelle special and the Bill Burr special.
Yeah, they couldn't get those two, so they got Shane.
But those guys, Burr and Chappelle, are on such a level that they can kind of get away with it more than somebody like Shane can.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's been very interesting to me, just as a social experiment, to see where comedians fall. What's funny, what's not funny, and all of these dictations as to, like, what comedy has become. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm fascinated with the storyline.
Follow the money.
Follow the money?
Well, that's always the case.
Always follow the money. If someone is just straight up funny and they're getting paid to be funny, I bet they don't have a problem with Chappelle or Burr.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if someone's getting paid because they align themselves politically a certain way, follow the money.
Right, right.
Every single person I've seen come out against those specials, I'm just like, I know how you get paid.
Well, you know, I saw them both, and they're sensational, and they remind me of a time when, and listen, whatever the deal, I get everyone's deal. It's fine. But in this case, it reminded me of the first time you heard somebody like George Carlin and go, and you're like, oh my God. You could see everybody start to, there would be nervous laughter and then laughter, because that's
the best. That's the best. And I think we're actually in a great place for comedy right now.
Yeah.
I think what you're going to see is you're going to start to see comedy piss people off, but not in a hacky late 80s way or like a shock way where people were like trying to shock.
But here's the deal. And to that point is that, as Chappelle makes the point during his special when he says, you clicked on my face, mother effer.
Yeah.
Like you actually came here.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this moment to boil up. We've been waiting for like the customer service generation to smash into like what comedy is, where it's like, I'm supposed to be satisfied. It's like, no, you don't just get to choose how you digest. You can like a comedian, you can not like a comedian.
Don't go to the shows of the comedians you don't like, and go to the shows you do.
Comedy was too popular.
Yeah.
Comedy got way too popular, and as I said it before, but comedy got gentrified.
Yeah.
A bunch of these people that weren't supposed to live in this neighborhood moved into this neighborhood, and now we're having a noisy-ass barbecue, and they're calling the police because we're having fun.
You know,
and that's just what it is. We're going to keep having barbecues. Move out. You're not welcome.
I think it might have come from the fact that people, you know, you remember during that comedy boom, that original comedy.
Late 80s.
Talk about HBO, which helped usher that along. So you're sitting on your couch and you're able to fast forward and people still, they'll go to a comedy club or a comedy show and think they have a remote in their hand.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know?
It's funny. My wife and I love stand-up comedy. We watch Netflix specials, HBO specials. I just watched the Gary Owen special on Showtime.
Yeah.
What's funny is, and she knows what funny is, but she also has a certain flavor that she likes.
Sure.
She hates Big Jay Oakerson. Yeah. Hates him, right? Because he had a joke about
Diane?
His daughter. Yes. Yeah.
Really?
He had an inappropriate joke about seeing his daughter naked.
I know exactly what Jesse's talking about.
And
it's so funny when he talks to a woman in the audience, when he starts talking about that, and then he goes and goes, do you have it? Like a 14-year-old girl? I just think the way he describes it.
But like, I said, you don't understand. So she was like, I don't like him, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and that's fine. But doesn't mean my wife doesn't know what funny is.
Sure.
That's just not her flavor.
Well, right.
She's not going to go write any letters about it. But the best thing I ever did is I got to tell Big J to his face that my wife doesn't like him.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. Oh, my God. It was great. No. Oh, no. He doesn't care because
we're on stage every night begging for the affection of strangers.
Right?
So when someone's like, oh, dude, my wife does not like you, you're like, Oh, man.
Or.
I mean, all I want to do is be like,
I'm
thinking about calling the special needs approval.
Yeah.
Because that's what every single comic is like. That's what laughs are. When I just did Fringe Festival in Edinburgh in Scotland.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was huge. It's a long month. UK audiences don't laugh like US audiences.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I knew how much approval I needed in Scotland. When a joke didn't work, and I'd be like, what? What is it? When something just goes flat, and you're like, are you mad at me?
What is it about it? And Frasier did an episode on it one time. There's really
love Frasier.
So you get, everybody loves him. The show's number one. And the one guy who runs the
win
news.
Win an Emmys. Come after Frasier.
Right.
Come after Frasier Crane. Say he doesn't have the hardware. That was Emmy award winning writing for 8 seasons. None of you are having tossed salad with scrambled eggs.
But the one guy who runs the newsstand doesn't like a show for some reason.
Yeah.
And so he freaks out.
It really is kind of one of those things where the longer you go. Like I heard Bill Burr once said you want 80-20. You want 80% of the audience to like you and 20% of the audience to not like you.
That seems like a good mix.
It's kind of like a driving factor.
Right.
Well, speaking of him, he did his special in England.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting choice.
Loved it. In Royal Albert Hall.
It
was beautiful. It was directed by Mike Binder. It was unbelievable, man. Paper Tiger and Sticks and Stones. For a guy that is about to film a special, it was just like, I'm going to quit. I shouldn't do this.
Well, you're hilarious.
Thank
you. But let me ask you from your point of view, because you are hilarious and your stuff is great, but do you have to sort of go into isolation before you go to do your stuff for fear of being in any way influenced?
I think it's more like Michelle Wolf is a good friend of mine.
Yeah,
and she has a Netflix special coming out in December, and she's editing hers. And she said it was tough to watch those specials while she was editing hers because you're watching Chappelle's finished product, and then you're going in and looking at yours and adjusting it. And you're like, I don't know. This looks bad. And so I think I'm okay now. I'll be fine. But if I were editing, I think that would screw me up in my head. Just being like, this joke sucks.
So the usual thing is you do two shows and you edit them together.
Yeah, yeah. So you usually pick one show to go off of, and then you're like, which joke works best in each show?
Okay. So, but in that process,
it's the worst. It is the worst part of doing stand-up comedy is editing a special.
Huh.
It is.
Why?
You're watching yourself.
Okay.
Comics hate watching them. I don't know. I hate watching myself. I can't watch myself on Billions. Whenever I watch Billions, I cringe. I don't like the way the skin sits on my face. I don't like the way my face moves when I talk. I'm like, what an idiot.
Well,
what
I'll tell you, McPhee is a great character.
Thanks, man.
He's a great character.
And the show's hugely popular.
It is, but it's like, I love the show, sans me. Like, I love everyone else.
I think there's, again, to the earlier point, I think there would be something wrong with someone who loved to watch themselves.
Those are actors.
Are they?
I mean, I know
really?
A lot of the actors on Billions are unbelievable people and really cool, but you see some, I've been in other stuff where you're like, oh, you're a for real actor. You love you some you.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
They're the opposite of comics.
Really?
Like comics, every comic's like, that sucked. I suck. I should quit. And every actor's like, I just feel like I transcended. I live with a very funny comedian, Mike Vecchione, who lived in Philadelphia for years. Mike Vecchione's hilarious. We've been roommates for 8 years. But when I'm filming Billions, if we're in the living room, I'll be like, okay, is there anything you need to say to Dan? Because I'm about to go into character. I don't know when I'm going to come out.
So what about comedic actors that you've worked with? Can they take themselves?
Comics are there. Kevin Pollak was on last season of Billions.
Yeah.
He's the man.
And Baldwin?
He is the man.
Yeah.
Baldwin, I went through a horrific breakup. There's a movie out. It's on Airplanes. That's how I know it's out.
Drunk
Parents.
Drunk Parents. Yeah.
It's a movie that Alec Baldwin and Salma Hayek. I have a small scene in it with Alec Baldwin. And when we were filming it, it was January of like 2016. I went through a horrific breakup. A breakup that I talk about in my Netflix special, but I was real heartbroken.
He told us just a sage advice.
Yeah. And I can't hate him because I just keep thinking of him being like, keep a small nut. That's just what he told me. It's like don't get a big nut if he's just such a nice guy. But you see, Kevin Pollak was the same way.
Yeah,
it was just fun. We went and got pizza. We talked about stand up while we were filming. And he's kind of like, yeah, don't take any of this too seriously.
Isn't the case? Again, you never. We always say never buy your own ass. Never.
Sure.
We've seen people get caught up in that, and that's the road to disaster.
That's when you see comics usually start to be terrible. is when they're like, oh, I'm it.
Yeah.
I am. I'm the man. That's why it was impressive to watch Kevin Hart fill a stadium and still stay funny.
Yeah.
Where you're like, how do you not believe that hype? If I filled the stadium, I'd be like, well, this is it. Yeah. This is the last show. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go live in Montana and have like alpacas or something.
I have a hard time watching the Rolling Stones in the stadium, let alone one tiny human being.
It is very odd to watch like very wealthy 70-year-old men be like, yeah. And everyone, the whole stadium's like, they party, right? Weird, man. The Stones are getting to a weird age. I want to see them, but I also don't want to see
them. You've never seen them?
Never seen them.
I just saw them for the first time, a couple of, they were just through here.
How do you feel about it?
You're saying is it almost, I'm glad I did it. And it seemed like I was watching a Stones tribute band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went through the there was no way I was.
Yeah, you feel like
I was backstage where they were there. Imagine them backstage chest bumping. This is great!
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was like they've done it so many times that it was not cool to see it.
Yeah, but you felt like you were at a local pub watching like Sticky Fingers, the local like the old man. The
yeah,
old
we
man
are cover Sticky band. Fingers.
Oh, hey, what's up, everybody? We're from Bucks County. We are Sticky Fingers. Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is the man dissatisfaction.
But they're also you're right because Keith Richards had his bandana off for the first. I've never seen him without his bandana off, and he looked like he was.
He looked spooky.
He looked really old.
Yeah, you're like,
he
looked. Someone conjured a spirit. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna play. It's nuts. I felt the same way about AC/DC before Angus, you know, before they stopped touring.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I was like, I don't want to see AC/DC.
Yeah.
I don't want, it's weird. It's like the same way I grew up loving wrestling, and I think it's still weird when Hulk Hogan is like, what you gonna do, brother? You're like, fight you. I'm gonna fight you.
Yeah.
I'm a 36-year-old man, and you're in your 70s. I'll work you. I'm not that athletic, but I'm still, I got, you know.
I just beat the crap out of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, back in the day, he'd be like, what you gonna do? And everyone's like, oh, no. And now you're like, I don't know.
Who was your biggest, had hoped they would be what you wanted them to be, celebrity that you've met, and they delivered?
Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart is the man.
Yeah.
He is the man. I've met him 3 times at the Comedy Cellar, and every time I'm like, dude, thank you. Thank you for being who I hope. It's like that old Dennis Green speech when they lost to the Bears, you know?
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were. That's how I feel about Jon Stewart.
So, he's exactly who you thought he was.
So my idea of what the Comedy Cellar is like is what I saw in Crashing, and I know Crashing, the comedians don't really...
It's exactly the same.
I mean, but is it like...
To the T. Scary how eerily accurate Pete Holmes and Judd Apatow nailed
it. Not even close then, huh?
No.
Do you hate me for liking that show?
No, it was good. I Pete and Judd did a good job. They did a really good job recreating a lot of that stuff. And,
okay.
I think the real seller is it's not what it used to be.
Okay.
I think, you know, back in the day it was more like Tough Crowd.
Oh, okay.
I think even when I got into the seller in like, I mean, as late as like 2011, it was still kind of you'd go in and get really beat up by the old guys, and it was fun when you gave it back.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just kind of like a really good club where everyone hangs out.
Okay.
But it's not like
two of them?
There's three.
Okay.
They have three rooms. Well, they have three locations. They have Cellar Vegas, and then they have in the city, they have the Village Underground and the Comedy Cellar in the West Village, two separate locations. But it's an unbelievable place. But it's definitely not that old, like, walk-in, Bobby Kelly sees you or Keith Robinson sees you, and you're like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I used to walk in like a sweatshirt, and I knew I was in trouble. I remember I had this striped Adidas sweatshirt, and I just stepped into the cellar, and I just hear Keith Robinson go, "What the hell are you wearing?" And I was like, "Oh no!" And like that was back before Schumer was famous, and it was just like everyone would sit around and just be ruthless with each other. And I know they were worse, even worse at the turn of the century, as I said, it was old.
The turn of the
That's
century.
That's what I was saying. I go, you guys remember at the turn of the century when you guys were mean to each other? And then they're like, that's just mean now.
So do you, I mean, despite having, you know, like you're touring every week and you do the bonfire every day, do you still do spots at the
every night? I try. I mean, you know, I think stand up, you have to do it every night.
Yeah.
And so I think the only nights to take off is Sundays to watch football. And then, every night doing sets. And I still do bar shows. That's the best part about living
in
New York.
Niners fan?
diehard Niners fan.
Really? How did that happen?
My dad's from San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
All right. Whole family's from the Bay, and I didn't have a choice.
you're born into it.
I don't know. Ask a Catholic, why are they Catholic? And, my parents forced me. It's like, the Niners, dude, if you're from the Bay Area, my dad, my grandma used to go to Kezar Stadium back in the 60s and, like,
I've never even heard of that.
I know. She's my grandmother's 92 years, about to be 92, and she still will call me and break down what happened wrong in the Niners game.
No kid.
Yeah, she'll call me and she'll be like, I think Jimmy G's doing well, but he's checking down. And, I have to maybe hire you a nurse, and you're breaking this down more accurately than NFL Live. It's nuts. But yeah, I'm a huge Niners fan, and I cheer for the Birds because Big J and Vecchione. I have a lot of people that I love that
Kevin
love the
Hart.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Just like people close to me that love the Eagles. Shane, there's like a lot of people where I'm like, all right, I can get on board with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm a Birds fan, and that's the way I was brought up, season ticket holder. But I love NFL football.
Yeah.
And so there are other franchises that I'm like, okay, I like Aaron Rodgers. I like the Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
I actually didn't even mind the Patriots all the way up until they signed Antonio Brown, and now I hate all of them.
Yeah.
But
Dan concurs with something you said for a long time. You can have a couple teams.
You can.
You have your team, but you can have other ones that you're cool with.
Side action.
I cheer for the Broncos. My mom's whole family. My mom is a huge Broncos fan. So I'm always like, all right, we make bets when they play each other. It's fun.
Did you ever play? I played
football up through high school.
Yeah. Okay.
They had to find a special helmet for you, right?
Yeah, I had a giant head.
Did you?
Dude, freshman year, they walked into the equipment locker, and they're like, I don't know if we have a helmet that will fit you. And I was like, can we only keep that between us? Because I feel like that's going to be a thing. And then someone was like, Soda got a big head. I was like, shut up. But it definitely helped me get low forms of CTE.
There you go.
Nick's got a big head too. Yeah. He has big heads.
What size hat do you wear?
Extra, extra large, like the 8 3/4. Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
It's
8 3/4?
Yeah, you know, it took me forever. Thank
you're the first bigger hand I've ever met, head than I've ever met.
So what are you?
I'm a flat 8. Eight across the board. I wear a size.
You wear an 8 3/4?
It took me forever to graduate from college. When I finally graduated from college, they had to special order my graduation cap.
I felt that. They did that to me, too. I had the one with the the elastic on the graduation cap.
Wow.
Where you're like, it's like when dogs graduate, when they put like a cap on a dog.
Yeah, so it stays on.
Got this stuff. It's adjustable.
Wow.
I just remember that bunching up on my head.
We had a cartoonist do a sort of a caricature of the show, and he put my head in a wheelbarrow that I was carrying.
Dude, that is 8 3/4. Not lying, dude. I've been tested several times. That's why I don't know, you can replay it, how cocky I was. And they go, he has a big head. I go, what size heck you wear? 8 3/4. And you're like, I am so sorry. for your poor mother.
Yeah. Yes.
Your sweet angel of a mother.
Yeah.
If it wasn't C-section, I hope she gave you up for adoption.
It was. Yeah. It was me. I was C-section, and then both my brothers were.
Really?
You were C-section?
You really were C-section?
I totally was.
Dude, that briefing where the doctor comes in and he goes, here's the deal. Your son may kill you. Or we can pop him out the top. We can pull him out the sunroof, or you might die.
I'm sure my mom's listening right now, and she's enjoying every second of this.
Don't worry. There's another lady in Colorado that shares your pain. I can never be successful enough to make up to my mother what I did in June of 1983. When I kicked the doors off, as we like to call it.
Kick the doors off.
My mom's an old saloon now.
Yeah.
Hey, that was FCC compliant.
Yeah, it was.
Listen, we'll go back to those days of comedy. You want me to go around words? I'll go around words.
We end up
fire my friends from SNL. You can't touch the dogs.
Wow. We often say that because we have to dance around that, we end up saying stuff that's far worse than yeah, we're going to say.
Yeah, dude, yeah. If when you go watch like 50s comedy and they do sex jokes, you're almost like, I think I'm offended.
Is that how you get shoe in the foot? She got a little foot scar. You're like, what does that mean? Yeah. Is he talking about a woman's genitals?
Yeah. You're like, I don't like any of this.
I love hearing your impressions on comedy because I think my opinion aligns with yours most of the time, but I watch comedians and cars getting coffee a lot, and I enjoy the historical perspective on comedy.
For real, yeah.
It's not always the funniest show on TV, but when Jerry sits down with especially established comedians, like the one with Martin Short, where they're just telling stories for years and years. Do you like watching that show?
I think it's a great, I loved the Eddie Murphy one that just came out, and there's a lot of great interviews, and yeah, I think, I'm a huge comedy nerd still, so I love watching interviews, also like, you know, WTF, Mark Maron.
Yeah. Yo, awesome.
All that stuff.
How do you think Eddie Murphy's... I mean, so obviously he's in the pantheon.
Yeah.
He's going to go back to doing stand-up.
Man, that's... I don't know.
What do you think?
I love Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You
don't know until you do. Remember, Chappelle stayed working.
Yeah.
Chappelle worked until... Like, even when he left Chappelle's show, he was still doing stand-up all the time.
He had a stand-up movie.
It's something it's something where you're like, you have to keep doing. So I just don't know if, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really hope. I hope it's so funny.
Yep.
But then also, as someone that does the job, it's going to be hard for him. Jay had a really good point. No matter what he does, it's going to disappoint us.
You think?
I think it's some people.
I think it's going to be so hard. Dude, that dude had 2 walk-off home runs and then never picked up a bat again.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Pitching has changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed. The game's evolved. Now, I've heard in interviews Dave Chappelle say that Eddie Murphy is the funniest person within 5 minutes. I've seen him on panel. I remember when he did Tower Heist.
Right.
He did Late Night when Fallon was still doing Late Night, not The Tonight Show. Eddie Murphy went on the panel and like lit it up. You saw him. You can see the spark in his eye go, and he goes. So I'm hoping there's enough of that where he can just turn it on. But, man,
we just talked about the Stones. I mean, you know, there's a peak of commercialism versus inspiration and creativity, right?
Sure.
And so you're selling 70,000 seats at the Link, or you're Eddie Murphy, and you're not quite sure what the motivation is. And he's never going to be who he was in his 20s, but that doesn't mean that he can't be funny.
It seemed to me, and to bring it back to your point of comedians and cars getting coffee, when Eddie Murphy talked to Jerry Seinfeld, there seemed to be a very, like, deep respect for stand-up that really made me like Eddie, where he was talking about comedy in a way where I was like, It might be good.
Yeah.
It might be good. Just the kind of the way that he was like reminiscing how much he loved like making a new bit. And when you kind of see that, you're like, well, all right.
Yeah.
When you see these guys like Jeremy Piven's doing stand up right now, and there's like other
guys.
We
had him in. Yeah.
Great. Cool.
Yeah.
Have fun. You're a tourist.
Yeah.
You're a tourist. But there's
like he presents it that way, Ro, right? Does he?
Does he? I don't know. You'll never hear me being like, you're the new Piven bit? Dude, Piven's got a bit of a economic. You got to check out the new stuff Piven's doing. I don't know the guy. God bless. But when people are tourists in this business, you got to. Dude, we're at a point, man. Like I said, it's getting near, it's damn near a civil war.
Yeah.
I had a friend lose a neck. I had a friend lose a, you know, this week. I watched the internet eat one of my friends.
What happened?
It was Shane Gillis.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that whole thing. It's like, that's my buddy. And I watched a lot of people that don't know him hear some things third hand and make some very, very serious opinions about someone they don't know. And I don't know. If I'm going to watch that happen, I'm sure not just going to stand around and be like, great job, Ari. I love that you got up there and just talked about what it's like to live in Hollywood. It's like, get out of here, dude. We got people losing blood in the streets now. I don't know. I think that Hollywood, like being very Hollywood in comedy is kind of over now.
Okay.
So it's like, get ready for people to get called out.
But what
because y'all want to call some people out, now we're going to call everyone out.
Well, so that's the fear, though, is you know, like, all right, well nobody's going to be safe. But I want to double back.
Well, I don't mean safe. I definitely don't want to cancel anybody.
No, I know that. I just, you know, everybody's going to sort of be under the microscope. And I mean everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
But getting back to comedy and comedy, comedians in cars getting coffee. what I find interesting is that you guys have like a scientific approach to what you guys do. I mean, like the way you're able to sort of break it down, and it comes with years and years of experience.
Yeah, I think it's like any job. I think you can't take comedy too seriously. I think if you do anything a long time and you love it and you put a lot of care into it, I think it starts to show.
Yeah.
And I think you just see the people like Dave Chappelle is who Dave Chappelle is because he's one of the most talented people in the world, but he also loves comedy and really does love comedy. Throws parties for comedians, treats comedians fantastically. Bill Burr is the same way. Bill's a little more crotchety, but he's like still that guy. He's like, what's up, kid?
Yeah.
Sit down. What's going on? That club sucks. Don't let that. You know, Bill Burr, one of my greatest moments in my career was there was a booker in New York that was kind of that likes their power and was kind of likes to mess with the young comedians. And I bumped into Bill Burr. This was about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was just not having a good night. And I was like, you know, I got booked only at 1:25 in the morning. And he's like, don't let that get, you know, he just like went off.
He gave
like, that person doesn't control comedy. They don't control you. So what? So go do some other spots. Then go there. You know, and it was like this moment where you're like,
oh, that's
my,
cool.
This is my hero telling me not to worry about this person. I think I'm going to listen to that. And that's what most jobs are. If you love something and someone that does the job well that you love, you should listen to them and grow. And I don't know. It's just it's a weird thing where comedy got very, very popular in the last 10 years. It got very popular where I think all these people that used to not like comedy were like, I think I might try stand up. And you're like, don't. Right. This is for broken people.
But you guys make it look easy. I'm telling you.
Well, that's really, the really ones good. Who do it well.
Yeah.
One of my idols is Norm MacDonald.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. So what Norm MacDonald does in shearing down and getting to the complete essence of a joke with word economy is unparalleled. And you look at people like a Chappelle, that just are effortless. And your abilities are phenomenal as well.
I'm trying,
but I mean, still in that way, it's something that's a lot of people will take for granted what people do and put in any job. It's like I'm not going to go in and perform a neurosurgery.
Sure,
I think it would be a sort of a slight to the people who studied it.
Yeah, I mean, I think again, you also got to remember we're clowns.
Yeah,
so stop taking this so seriously.
Right,
like it was a job that it's pretty low on the entertainment totem pole. And you know that when you do see actors that are, you know, like you see people that their careers ended and they're like, now I'm doing the bagel guy. The bagel boss.
The freaking bagel guy.
Oh, if you want to know where stand-up is in the form of art, the bagel guy went from having a meltdown in a store to doing stand-up.
Yeah.
That was his next logical move. He's like, yeah, I had a meltdown. I'm all over the internet screaming at people. What should I do? Stand-up.
Yeah. By the way, if you're just jumping in, some people are texting you just joined us. It's Dan Soder is here. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. But the thing is, Steve, about doing brain surgery and things like that, your local comedy club invites you to come down and get on the stage.
Local hospitals don't do that.
That would be great.
Exactly.
Come on down. Yeah. Try to remove some stuff for some people. You can do it. Do you have 5 friends that can watch you try to take a spleen out?
It's open surgery. Yeah.
You're like, this is pretty good. But then some people would probably excel at it. You've
got to guarantee at least 10 patients.
Yeah. Did you see that guy's sutures? This suture work is unbelievable. That guy, did you knit, sir? Why do you know how to stitch so well? It's a thing where, I don't know, man, it's a thing that I love. Like, comedy's a real thing that I genuinely love comedians and I love doing comedy. And it's a thing where I think I do get a little defensive about it because I think you have to when it's a cash grab. But we're returning to a moment where only the people that are doing stand-up are the people that want to do stand-up, which I think is good for comedy.
Yeah, no, it seems to be there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. I mean, to watch back-to-back Chappelle and Bill Burr, who have been at it to deliver 2 stellar specials.
It's the modern era of Pryor and Carlin putting out two unbelievable specials.
We've got to wrap it up in a second here. So I know we sort of touched on Billions a little bit, but when's the new season coming out?
We start filming in November.
Oh, you didn't even start yet?
Nah, man. They're taking some time writing this next season.
What's your time commitment when they start filming? How long are you doing that for?
Whenever they want me.
Whenever they want. Okay.
Yeah, that show, they're just like, hey, can you be there Tuesday? You're like, yeah, I'll be there whenever you guys want. That's such a fun job. And I definitely, you know,
sitting here talking about how comedians are comedians, I don't ever get it crossed when I go do Billions. I'm like, dude, I'm a comic learning how to act.
Okay. Yeah.
These people are actors. These people are like legit trained. I would never act like I'm on the same level as Kelly O'Coin, who plays Dollar Bill, Asia Kate Dillon, who plays Taylor. I've watched these people and be like, oh, you guys are on a different level.
A different level. Yeah.
Different level of acting. I'm just trying to keep up.
Do they help you?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
All right. Hell yeah. And I'm very like, hey, can you help me? Like David Costable, who plays Wags.
I love that guy.
He's, first off, one of the greatest actors of our generation. Like, the dude is in everything.
Right.
Breaking Bad, The Wire, Lincoln. Like, the dude's unbelievable. I have just several times been like, help. Help me.
And he does.
Yeah. If I just have questions about something, because, you know, I think that's like, I wouldn't take offense if an actor was trying to do stand-up and they're like, hey, can you help me on this? I'm trying to look. If there's like a lot of humility, I'd be like, oh, cool, man. This is kind of how that goes. And I definitely want to keep that attitude when I'm on
board. How did you even get that gig?
I knew a guy. That's how you get every gig.
Is it Koppelman? You told us it was a fan of yours.
No, a friend of mine. Yeah, Brian Koppelman and I and David Levine, we were working on a pilot for FX. That's him all the way to the left. I've known him for a long time. And they had me come in and audition when they did the pilot. He's like, dude, just come in for a bunch of different roles.
And he's your friend?
Yeah, we met doing open mics in New York in 07, and he was going through a writer's block. So he did stand-up for a year and a half.
See, he loves stand-up comedy.
He loves it, and he did it every night for a year and a half. He became a comic.
Yeah, I've seen you, Big J, Birbiglia, Pollock. Who else?
Alan Havey. Mm-hmm. Who else is other comics that have been? Sam Morril was on an episode.
Yeah.
So he loves stand-up comedy, and they just had me come in, and Showtime was like, yeah, we like this guy. And so then the role that they were kind of having me go in for, they got the actor they wanted. So they're like, listen, that role's gone. Do you want to be a one-off in the pilot? Or, hypothetically, if we go to series, we'll write you a role. And I was like,
yeah, right.
Because I'm Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis. Yeah. I was going to go to series.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to series, and they kept their word and wrote me a role. And then people don't realize, like, how stuff happens. It's not like, oh, he's doing well. Let's give him more. Other people do well, and then they have to give you their lines. That's what happened. One guy on the show just started working, and they're like, do you want his lines in this episode? I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Right now I'm watching Cheers. That's my go-to-bed. It's my go-to-bed show.
Love Cheers.
So I'm in the first season.
Coach.
Ratzenberger isn't even part of the, like, he's on the other side of the bar.
Cliff Clavin.
Cliff Clavin is not part of the opening credits. His name's not even there.
Dude.
Right?
And that guy, yeah. And you think, like, you don't even know who Woody Harrelson is right now.
Well, he hasn't joined yet. Right. Yeah.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Question about Billions on Showtime. Any conflict with HBO and your special? Did you have to jump through any hoops for that, or they care?
Nah.
They don't care at all.
Okay. They don't care. And I think they were like, oh, you do stand-up? HBO offered me a special, and they're like, cool.
Yeah.
God bless. Nice. Yeah, I hope. I was really hoping that wasn't a thing. But, yeah, I don't think they. It'd be funny if they didn't even know. If I just show up, and they're like, what did you do in the offseason? I was like, Not a lot. I got to go all these press junkets for HBO. I'm like, I didn't do nothing.
Let him find out.
It's the ultimate cheating. Did you know I was watching HBO the other night and Dan Soder did a special?
There's Showtime on your collar.
Yeah. Oh, what? You smell like HBO. I was watching The Wire. What do you want? It's such a good show.
Listen, we got to wrap it up. Don't miss your chance to see Dan Soder. Yeah. All right, tonight, 7:30 and 10. Tomorrow, there's only one show that has tickets left. That's the 10 p.m. show. You can get them at heliumcomedy.com. It's great to see you, man.
Always great seeing you guys. I love coming in here. And you guys, this show's the best.
Thank you, man. Thanks, man. We love you.
Yeah, morning press sucks. You guys make it so easy.
Thank you. Give it up for Dan Soder, everybody. Hey. Helium Comedy Club. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Good Mess. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. The Good Mess. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks our world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Okay, a few things here real quick. Casey, number one, we have to play your Eagles song in its entirety.
Okay.
At some point, so look where we might be able to do that before the show is over.
For Good Luck?
Yep, and it's a great song.
It is a great song. But I think it should be in rotation. But who am I?
And Nick, you have a shout out real quick?
Yes, I went to the doctor's office yesterday, follow-up, did some x-rays downtown, and I wanted to thank Kate and Brittany and the x-ray tech, whose name I forget right now. I came around the corner, and she knew that I was coming in because Dr. Mike helped set up the appointment, and she gave me a huge hug, so I apologize for not being able to remember your name, but everybody in the doctor's office and that helped me with the x-rays and literally sitting down on the floor and then getting back up from the floor to do the x-rays, they were really, really kind, so thanks so much for that office.
Nice. Yeah. All right, and there's a phone call I need to go to. I think it's Brendan. Are you Brendan?
It is. What's going on, guys?
Brendan, we just want to know why you're in such a good mood right now.
I don't know. Somebody called me and said I won $1,000.
And that's how you do that. Brendan is our random winner. He entered in for the Money Shark contest and now walks away $1,000 richer. Pretty sweet deal.
Now, you were contacted, obviously, on your phone. And you made the point, Preston, when you entered to win, if you get a call and you don't recognize the number, take that call.
You might want to take that call. Yep. Where are you from, Brendan?
Downingtown, PA.
All right. And what are you doing this weekend?
Going to spend the time on the boat. Maybe take the family out for a nice dinner.
Oh, nice.
It's the little things. But you got an extra grand in your pocket, which is pretty sweet. How did you enter this morning? In what way?
I took the text route.
You did the text. All right. Nice job, bud. Listen, congratulations. Thank you for listening to MMR, and enjoy your $1,000. All right, bud?
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You got it. You too. All right. Next chance coming up 11 o'clock. That'll be with Pierre Robert. So the money keeps rolling on in. It's a wonderful thing. Steve, you sent me this yesterday. We're starting to get into Halloween mode as far as getting ideas for costumes and stuff like that. If you are planning on going to an event, it's something to think about. You know, we had M. Night Shyamalan on the other day. The Shyamaween party is coming up. You need to have a badass costume.
I love it. I love every bit of it.
And, of course, the sexy costumes are quite popular. And there's a new one.
Did you
see this, Case?
No. This one is probably the most outlandish, sexy conversion.
This is about as big of a stretch as you can, as you can make. There is now a sexy Mr. Rogers costume.
Come on.
I could see that.
I mean, for a girl?
For a girl.
Yeah, for a girl. Yeah.
Okay.
No, for a guy. For a girl, yeah.
Can you see my ass cheeks?
The set consists of a cropped, low-cut red sweater.
Sweater, yeah. That's
a tiny little itty-bitty. It's like almost a sports bra. Well, no, I guess it's bigger than that. It's like, yeah, it's a
crop top.
Yeah, it's a crop cardigan. And it's got a white collar with a tiny tie.
Look at how tight my shirts are. You can sort of see my ball sack.
I mean, if somebody walked in that outfit, I would definitely not say, oh, my God, you're Mr. Rogers.
Oh, my God, I love Mr. Rogers, too.
What the hell is that?
I would have no idea what this was.
No, I'd be happy that they walked in, but otherwise.
Well, if they look like the model, absolutely.
They look like Mr. Rogers, no.
This girl is amazingly gorgeous that's modeling it. And it's a tight belted gray booty slacks that you wear.
When I get home, I like to relax by putting on my booty slacks.
These are the costumes that I hate, not the sexy costumes, the costumes that you don't know what they are. If somebody has to ask me, what are you? I'm done.
I agree. Your costume, even if it's sexy, a sexy nurse, you can figure that out. This thing in no way to me has a Mr. Rogers feel to it.
Kathy, a lot of times those costumes are play-on-word costumes.
Yep.
Like I remember a gal one time, it was a cute idea, but you had to ask what it was. She was a dirty martini.
Right.
She wore this thing on her head that looked like it was a martini glass, and she was dressed kind of slutty, so she's a dirty martini.
She should have dressed as Danny DeVito in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Because his name was Martini, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think so.
One year we kept calling my friend a sock thief. He went as Static Kling, and so he just wore all black and had socks pinned to him for like you look like a sock.
Yeah, Kling.
Uh huh.
Come on.
I've seen that before. I've seen that costume before.
Yeah, that's been done a number of times.
Yeah. I'm alcoholism. Hi. How are you?
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm cheating because I'm really an alcoholic.
Yes. So it says here there are some other ones to look out for. Well, these are the same. This is the company that has created this is called Yandy, and they're the same people who had last year's. Remember the sexy handmaid costume?
Oh my God! Yeah, from,
the Handmaid's Tale.
You know what they should do? Do a sexy RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
There you go.
Yeah,
Steve.
Is there one?
I think there might be
one. Oh, you're kidding me.
So here are some other ones. The last year was the sexy tariff. What the hell is that?
The tariff as in?
Mm-hmm. As in a tax?
A tax, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't even understand that.
A sexy Beyond Burger.
Oh, stop
what
it.
What the
stop
hell
it.
Is that?
It's stupid.
What's the costume?
Yeah.
Well, the buns are obviously involved.
There's something called a tater thought.
Oh, that hoe over there?
Okay.
That's hilarious.
And a definitely non-Disney affiliated sexy playtime sheriff and two infinity space ranger.
All right, so the tariff is a has money on it. So it is. Yeah. That's what it is. It's a sexy tariff costume.
By the way, last year when we talked about this, Preston, I searched on Yandy for some of these costumes because we were talking about them.
Yeah.
The Yandy pop-up ads were in my browser for like 3 months afterwards.
No doubt.
Do you guys have any ideas of what you guys might be this year?
Yeah, actually.
Me too.
I did kind of kick around an idea, but okay. Do you want to reveal it?
No, not yet. I think my hair and grossly unshaven face lends itself to something.
Okay.
Really?
Is this something you would create a costume for? You could buy a costume.
No,
because Marista creates awesome costumes.
She does.
I like to just buy one and here you go.
That is too much work.
Yeah.
Why don't you be a sexy costume purchaser?
Ooh.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think I can get away with it with the clothes that I already own, and I might have to get extensions. And that's it.
Oh, you're going to be Beyonce.
No, I'm not going to be Beyonce.
Really
I'll tell you what I was thinking. All right. I was thinking about being Homelander.
Oh, really?
From The Boys.
Oh, very nice.
There's a costume. I like that costume.
It is a cool costume.
It's really cool. Yeah. And, oh, my God, that show is unbelievable. But I don't know if enough people have seen that show.
It doesn't matter. You can go out as a commercial for the show.
But I'll have to explain all night long.
Say you're Static
Who
Kling.
Who are you? Yeah, I'm Static Kling. Who are you? I'm Homelander. It's from the show called The Boys. It's on Hulu, blah, blah, blah. Is it on Hulu?
Yeah, I don't watch
Amazon
Hulu.
Prime. Amazon. Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on Amazon, you said? Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't own a television.
But I like the costume. So
it is a great costume.
I don't know. But, yeah, people are starting to think about that. It's also time to, believe it or not, book your Thanksgiving and Christmas flights. The deals are going to start coming up very soon.
Do they really?
That's what a new report from AAA says. Thanksgiving and Christmas travelers should start searching for flights as soon as Wednesday, September 25th, in order to get the best airfare prices.
Why, that's next Wednesday.
Someday, one day, I'm going to talk my family into going to a tropical location for Christmas. I would like to do that. They are vehemently against it. They want nothing to do with it. We're past a certain thing, which I won't mention, that we don't have to worry about anymore.
So you can go.
And we can go wherever we want to go. But no, they're not having it.
See, I like the idea of Christmas at home. I don't think I ever want to not have that. But leaving the day after Christmas and then spending, you know, the week between Christmas and New Year's.
But it gets really busy at that
and
time.
And really expensive.
Yeah, very
they
expensive.
Jack the rates through the roof.
Yeah. So that's why I wouldn't mind going a couple days ahead of time, spend the holiday wherever it may be.
Do you consider Delaware tropical?
Yeah, I do.
No.
It's just gorgeous.
Because you could get some deals.
I'm going
to Rehoboth.
A lot of Philadelphians are going to be going to Miami right after Thanksgiving because the Eagles play the Dolphins that Sunday. So there's going to be a lot of people
already
booked their trips.
I'm so enamored of this whole time frame and Thanksgiving. I usually spend, now it's been the past couple of Thanksgiving because my wife goes down to my sister-in-law, I should say, her husband passed away a little while ago. She spends time with them down there. It allows me to put up all my Christmas decorations. So I actually enjoy that, that break, you know.
Okay, yeah. Now, I love Christmas, and I like the home Christmas as well. I just wouldn't mind changing it up one year.
I agree.
I mean, it's, you know, worth doing once, I think. I mean, you have years and years and years of doing it the same way every year.
Why don't you go let the family stay here and you go?
Oh, my God. That's a brilliant idea.
Hi, guys. Yes. I'm here in Maui.
idea.
I've told you guys many times. We did it in Cabo one year. That was the family Christmas present, Preston. It was at the time of my brother's lives where we were past that thing as well. And, like, we got up. Flew to Cabo on Christmas Day, and that was the Christmas present for everybody in the family, and it was one of the best and most memorable Christmases we ever had as a family.
I don't know if I could do Christmas, but we did Thanksgiving for a few years, and now, unfortunately, it doesn't work for us because we do the Camp Out for Hunger right after Thanksgiving, but right. that was a perfect time. It wasn't a full week. It was a long weekend. It was kind of perfect for, you know, a Caribbean island,
okay,
relaxing, and, yeah, we just did...
What would you do for the meal?
So we had Mexican food when we went to Mexico. Turkey dinner. You know, we didn't do that because they didn't have it.
I understand why people do. I would go occasionally when I was not married and just dating. I'd go down to Texas to visit my dad, and that was a different kind of Christmas.
Just because of the temperature difference?
Yeah, okay. I'm a fan of the Courier Knives, the way Jesus spent it in the snow.
Right.
Yeah. That sort of thing. That's my deal. But to have a home now I love the decorating process. But wherever you have the best time, where you're going to have the best Christmas is where you should be, or whatever holiday area. To me, I like to get away. I like to go to a tropical place on Election Day.
Yeah.
I think that's...
No matter where you go, there you are. Remember that.
Yeah. I want to do Christmas in Yellowstone one year. Like the winter in Yellowstone. Have you guys seen the lodges there?
Don't they close it?
No, the Old Faithful Lodge has a winter lodge. And so a lot of the park is pretty inaccessible.
Your dream is to be airlifted out of there.
I'll be airlifting Nick for Christmas.
I was going to say I walked into that one, but I didn't really walk in.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, the Winter Lodge at Old Faithful is supposed to be gorgeous. And, yeah, most of the park is difficult to get around or impossible to, but it's also, there's nobody there. Yeah. You know, that time of year, it's pretty quiet.
Also, like, the idea of going to, like, Vermont or something like that right after Christmas. I like waking up at home in Delco on Christmas Day with my family. My slippers.
Does it have to be your family?
It's got to be my family.
All right.
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Ramirez family.
So anyhow, you want to make your plans now, apparently.
All right.
If you want to get
sage advice.
The cheapest flights for travel in November and December. There's a month-long period, and it starts on Wednesday. Thanksgiving 2019, you can save some money by choosing to travel on the Monday before, which would be the 25th, or on Thanksgiving Day itself. Flight prices tend to be higher on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And as for Christmas goes, the best day to fly in terms of price and crowds is Christmas Eve. The worst day is the day after Christmas. That's when, like I said, everybody...
They've done the deal and they want to get the hell out and take advantage. Now, the Christmas is falling on a Wednesday?
Don't know.
What?
I'll look it up.
About 2 days after.
Would that make a big... I don't know if that...
Because what? How much... Yeah.
Nick is...
We'll know that answer in a second.
Don't you just know it off the top of your head? It's on a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Okay. Done deal. All right, so if you want to get those tickets, get them now. Should we take a break now?
No, we have a little bit of time.
We have a little bit of time.
All right,
all right, you talked about relaxing and really being able to chill for a bit as far as being, you know, in nature and so forth. Apparently, the National Trust in England found that listening to the sounds of birds and leaves rustling calm people down more than listening to a guided meditation or silence.
Just the sounds of nature.
Yeah, so if you would like to really relax, you should listen to woodland sounds. There you go.
I feel so much better.
That's the most outstanding answer I've ever heard.
Participants who listened to the woodland sounds felt 30% more relaxed and said their stress and anxiety levels dropped by 25% and 20% respectively.
Huh.
I think this is... Would this is what you would
this
consider?
This is a little bit more jungly.
Yeah, it's more...
You're probably talking about... The wind, you know, the leaves, sort of maybe like a fall sound of
birds occasionally, you know, making some
the
sounds.
The elk, the mighty elk.
I do water, ocean. No water, but mostly like streams, not
a koala.
I'm so relaxed.
That's a koala having sex, I think.
Yeah.
No, more like streams and slightly
tropical, I think.
Okay.
It is the sound when I sleep in the parking lot at Jace's school.
Do you?
100%.
You take a nap?
If I get there early, I set my alarm for probably... It depends. 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. If I get there early, yeah, I sit in car line. There's nothing else to do. And I'll sort of do like a little meditation, and 9 times out of 10, I fall asleep.
Do you take all your clothes off?
Stop it.
Do you have a little babbling brook?
Sound effect
that you use?
Oh, yeah. There's something. Yeah. I have an app, and it's a meditation app, and you can choose to not do, you know, any sounds, but I'll typically do what sounds like a stream and maybe leaves a little bit.
Speaking of meditation, falling asleep, the other day, you know, we were doing yoga, and there's a thing at the end called the Shavasana, and I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I was snoring.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that before where people have had to wake me in class.
And our yoga teacher was like, yes. She loved that I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Like ultimate relaxation. It was awesome.
What is it? Shavasana?
Shavasana,
yeah.
Well, you do the shlemiel first.
And then the Shavasana.
And then we all go to eat at Hasa Peppers Incorporated.
You guys make fun of me, but I love the show CBS Sunday Morning.
And no, it's wonderful.
It's a great show. And he's been dead for like 20 years. But every week on Instagram, they will post a minute-long video, and it says, take 1 minute and do nothing. And it's a really great meditative minute, and we all sit on our phones and scroll through a million things all the time. But the 1 minute of Instagram pleasure by following CBS Sunday Morning is worth it.
Okay.
Now we go to Pornhub.
Pornhub?
Where the babysitter is in need of a lift home. She gets into your car. You've never noticed how mature she looks. I'm Charles Gould.
Did Charles Gould have two families?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he did.
He did.
Oh,
he had two families.
A secret family?
A secret family. Well, they found out about it when he passed away.
Yeah. That family knew about themselves, though, right?
Yeah, they weren't secret to themselves.
Yeah.
Charles Gould.
That's crazy.
I used to love those. Though they would, and they still do. Well, they'll end up with that nice, you know, it'll be something. There's a great, it used to be on, I don't know if it's anymore, but an HD channel that was things like Sunrise in Yosemite in Vermont
that.
With the moose eating, you know, in the lake. And
was it mainly to show how vibrant the
of
the
HD picture can be? Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
I don't know.
Was great.
It was really a good sort of you know, cool thing. Cool. Yeah. That stuff really does help. It really does.
Kath, I don't like, I don't need anything to help me fall asleep at that time of the day. I mean, I
you
literally,
just roll one out.
No, well, I mean, I do that anyway, but it doesn't help. Either way, I'm going to fall asleep. I've fallen asleep in the middle of getting a root canal.
You fell asleep at a fish show. There's a picture of you.
I was tired, Preston.
I know, but I mean, you just, I'm reinforcing how easy it is for you to fall asleep. You're one of your favorite things, and you passed out.
It's true.
There's a difference, I think, between, like, falling asleep and just taking a nap and meditation. So, like, I'm actually meditating and then somehow find myself sleeping.
Yeah, I'm meditating in the MRI machine. And then I fall asleep.
I fall asleep at the dentist all the time in the chair. Yeah.
No problem.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There's just something very soothing about it.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
No way.
And I wake up with my pants
picking around in my teeth.
I was like, my palms were sweating. I was almost crying. There was no falling asleep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyhow, if you listen to, you know, sounds like this, it will relax you. And it's one of the best ways to relax, according to this study. So keep that in mind.
I agree. I love that
sound. There's tons of apps that are free that you can get that have those sound effects on them.
The sound of a gentle breeze through trees.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is very, it's just a wonderful sound.
A train off in the distance.
Yeah. An exploding warehouse.
Yeah, that's
You know what does not calm me down at all and is not relaxing? Everything that Steve has been hitting. No, the sound of fire burning.
Oh, really?
That doesn't calm you?
No.
Does
it give you anxiety?
I tried it, and I was like, it kept me awake. I'm like, I hate this.
I have an app on my phone. Yeah. Oh, I love the Yule log, the whole deal.
No.
The acknowledgement that you forgot to open the flu.
The smoke.
The screaming, the fire department. Daddy's dead. The screaming of the kids.
Carbon monoxide building up.
And then you're screaming because it will not be a good Christmas.
Because Daddy died right there in the living room.
That doesn't relax you?
Because he was so stupid because of the flu.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. House still smells like smoke. Well, good times.
It's really, it's a different app.
It's a call now for some turkey bacon. Okay. Yeah. So, which I'm going to give away because our friends from Godshall's are here this morning. And they brought a bunch of really great dishes that they've served up for our guests here. Godshall's is the turkey bacon, pork bacon consumers prefer. And it's real wood smoked with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. And we will take caller number 10 and give you a six-pack of coupons. Good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. 215-263-WMMR. Can we play your song next?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
Can we play two songs, one song and then your song, or do we have enough time?
Yeah, we have plenty of time.
Casey's Eagles song when we return, as well as the Bizarre File. We still are going to give away at some point this morning tickets to the Hella Mega Tour.
Yeah.
That's Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy, so stay close. We'll have your chance. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
This was last time when we played Casey's song. We got loads of compliments on text messages. And this I've never heard before. So you guys tell me if I'm just if I've just missed this. This particular adjective, if you will, it says, hey, what the F? I thought that sounded like Casey, but never my wildest dreams did I think it was actually be him. That was effing Tank as hell.
It was Tank.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I haven't heard of Tank, but yeah. I know it's one of the beloved instruments of war concerning the military.
It is.
So, yes.
Yes.
And I know it's very powerful. I saw the film Fury.
Uh-huh.
And
there was a movie called Tank, too.
Yes, of course there was. Yes.
Oh, with James Garner.
James Garner. Yeah. Have you ever heard
and Sally Field, I think, right?
Have you ever heard the term tank used like that before?
Not like that. No.
Okay. No, I have not.
But thank you very much.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sorry.
Bob, boom.
Here, I'll give you one
but
of these.
But you know.
My little brother's nickname growing up was Tank.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was just this thick piece of child.
Of a large machine with treads.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he thinned out over time. I would never look at him and say, man, that guy's thick.
Yeah. But the lore was that they dropped a TV on his head and it broke the TV.
Man, you guys do baptisms differently.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we had a little bit of water.
Yeah, yeah. But a full
the priest
television back in the day. Those were,
they were heavy.
Tube television.
Do you want... Do you want an Emerson?
Yeah.
Or do you want
a Trinitron?
Magnavox.
Right. All right. I have some Bizarre File stories, and I'm going to read them to you now.
All right.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File. Damn!
Brought to you this morning by Godshall's.
Damn!
Check out the new Godshall's packaging where you buy bacon. And it's easier to read nutrition, like 80% less fat than pork and 6 grams of protein. Real wood smoked taste, Godshall's. So a 25-year-old woman in Rhode Island gave new meaning to the phrase feeling blue when she developed a rare and sometimes fatal condition called, and it's a long medical word, methemoglobinema.
The girl from Methemoglobinema.
That's the one.
Yeah. And blue and all.
Yeah.
And why is she blue? I think it's a condition
called Methemoglobinema.
Flows right
off the tongue.
Right off the tongue.
We had an appearance last night. So a little sluggish.
It turned her blood a deep shade of navy blue.
Her actual blood turned blue.
Yeah.
She was, in fact, a blue blood.
Yeah, exactly. The woman, the girl with methemoglobinema or whatever it's called.
And when she passes, everyone goes, what the hell's going on?
Told doctors that she had used a topical pain reliever for a toothache.
Topical.
The next morning, she woke up feeling sick and went to the emergency room. She said, I'm weak and I'm blue. She told the emergency room doctor.
Maybe something will pep you up.
Dr. Otis Warren, an ER physician at the hospital who treated the woman, wrote in the case report that she had indeed taken on a bluish tinge.
Wow.
She is what doctors call cyanotic, a medical term that refers to when the skin and nails can take on a bluish color. This is a typical sign the body's not getting enough oxygen. An initial reading showed that her blood oxygen level was at 88%, lower than normal, which is close to 100%, though higher than what doctors expected given her appearance. It shouldn't have made her blue. So her blood had also taken on a dark blue appearance. While blood drawn from a vein typically takes on a darker appearance because it isn't carrying oxygen, blood drawn from an artery should appear bright red. In the woman's case, blood from her veins and arteries were dark blue. The doctor immediately recognized the problem. He'd seen one case before during his residency when a patient developed the disease after being treated with an antibiotic.
So, because the blood was drawn, that's how they knew, right? There were no other symptoms?
No, her skin. Her skin was
actually turning a complete blue hue.
It was a bluish shade, yeah.
And she was queefing silly string.
Wow, that's impressive.
So, there was a guy you reported a story a while ago that was taking a supplement or taking something, and he turned like a metallic blue.
He looked like a Smurf. It was a form of silver that he had that he changed him that way. Yeah.
And then he died eventually because of
it. He did, yeah. So anyhow, methemoglobinemia is easily treatable using a medication that, perhaps ironically, is called methylene blue. The woman was given the drug intravenously and within minutes reported feeling better.
That's amazing.
But it was really strange. The actual blood in her veins.
Horrifying, yeah.
This is pretty horrifying, but I'm going to throw it in here anyway. In August 2018, Todd Mullis reported the death of his wife, Amy, in an accident, saying she was impaled by a pitchfork type of a corn rake, it's called, at their farm. But it didn't take long for authorities to doubt his story and place him on trial for first-degree murder. The trial of Todd Mullis is currently ongoing. A recent testimony is starting to paint a picture of what happened to Amy Mullis that doesn't perfectly align with the husband's account. He said that it was a freak accident. Authorities said the story started to crumble after an autopsy. For instance, she was accidentally impaled, but she had 6 punctures on her back when the rake only has 4 prongs. Mm. Not long before her death, Amy's friends said that she confided in them that she was preparing to leave her husband, and they assumed they had a pretty rough, like he may have been abusive and everything, but
his car was parked on her chest.
Here's what gave it away, though. After Amy's body, besides the puncture wounds, was discovered, a coroner declared her death a homicide. Not long after that, police said an affidavit clued them in to some odd internet searches.
Uh-oh.
Topics on his iPad included organs in the body, killing unfaithful women, and what happens to cheaters in history, to name a few. So sometimes these idiots leave obvious clues like that, thank God.
He did a search for ways to kill my own wife with his own picture.
And then they...
created a wiki page.
Wow. A masked man recently pulled a knife out at a supermarket in West Sussex, England, to threaten staff. But it was an 11-year-old girl who saved the day because she started throwing loaves of bread at him. The man was armed with a knife and eventually walked out without any cash because this girl kept throwing bread at him. No one was harmed in the incident. Police are asking anyone that can identify the man from TV security camera footage to contact.
Good for her.
Yeah.
They always say, never bring a loaf of bread to a knife fight.
Never, ever. No, but there is, I've seen people, like, there's training videos for, like, if you have, like, active shooters, especially, like, in a school situation. And if said active shooter decides to enter your classroom to, like, throw anything books. And everything yeah. at him, like books, you know, book bags, shoes. Like,
sure.
It doesn't matter if it's light or heavy, you know, they're going to have to flinch at
and
it.
And duck and give you a chance to get to them.
Yeah, and if you have 30 people doing that at once.
It would be a shower of debris. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's the run, hide, fight scenario, yeah. And if faced with it, yeah, they say that's one of the ways to do it. All right, and then one last story. This is a tragic one, but I wanted to get to this before the week was up because then it'll kind of date out. But 3 people are dead after a speedboat racer in Italy crashed Tuesday night while trying to break an offshore speed record.
Oh.
Champion Italian racer Fabio Buzzi was killed when he hit an artificial reef near the finish line as he tried to set the record for traveling from Monte Carlo to Venice. The president of the Italian Offshore and Endurance Committee confirmed his death and that there were 2 other fatalities, though there were conflicting reports about the nationalities of the other 2 victims. The only survivor, Mario Invernizzi, was being treated at a hospital. Local firefighters said 3 bodies were pulled from the submerged vessel, roughly 65 feet long and capable of hitting speeds of 80 miles per hour or more.
On the water.
On the water, that's unbelievable. Hauling ass, yeah. The boat took off and flew almost 100 feet in the air, landed on its stern at the other side of the causeway where the victims died on impact. The newspaper reported that Buzzi, by the way, 76 years old,
and a 10-time world powerboat champion apparently misjudged how much space that he had to enter the lagoon, so he messed up.
Yeah.
The barriers he hit were installed to prevent flooding in Venice, and crashes are not uncommon in the waters, by the way.
That's so heavy.
Pretty messed up. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. All right. You want me to go to the guy who texted in that Casey's song was Tank as Hell?
Yeah.
Okay. I got Eric on the line. Hey, Eric.
Sounder.
Special sounder. All right. So was that a typo, or did you indeed say it was Tank as Hell?
I meant every word of what I said.
And so what we're assuming Tank is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So Christian Bale as Batman, he was a badass. But then Ben Affleck bulked up. He was a tank Batman.
All right. So, and is this a word that you spread around, or do you and your buddies use it?
Using it ever since, trying to spread that wildfire.
You saw it in a forum? Okay.
All right, so he's trying like the same way they tried to get Fetch to work in Mean
Yeah,
Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but I like Tank better than Fetch.
Tank is happening.
All right, Fetch
I do that. Like, yes, get on the tech train now.
Yeah. All right, it's Tank.
All right, Tank train. Sorry.
I love you guys.
All right, thanks, Eric. Have a great flight.
See you, man. Yeah. All right. Let us take a break, but let's do this. The Hella Mega Tour.
Oh, yeah.
I got those tickets, man. This is, I think this is going to be really cool. And I think the tickets go on sale, by the way, 7 minutes ago. Yes, they go on sale today. So that's your Ticketmaster.com. But I have a pair of them. We'll take caller, let's do caller 28. All right, 215-263-WMMR. Green Day, Weezer, Fallout Boy at Citizens Bank Park. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, as we get closer.
The new music. Yeah, the new music from both Green Day and Weezer, I personally love.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a great show. 215-263-WMMR, call number 28. We're going to give you those tickets. We will be back in just a moment. We still have our lesson question, trash, and music news to get to, so we'll do those very things when we return.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question. We are going to give away a pair of tickets in the suite for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway on October 6th. So the question that we're going to go with today has got to be this. Who were the two Mediterranean men in Steve's sexual experience? When he was a humiliation yes. cuck.
Yeah, it's my thing.
Yeah, so...
But not anymore. The sixth time was the deal killer.
Yes, who were the two Mediterranean men during Steve's humiliation cuck experience? 215-263-WMMR. That was at the fifth one. I think where
these two
guys came in. If you know the answer, you're listening, call now. We're going to do the trash warrior calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you this morning by Godshalls. Check out the new Godshalls packaging where you buy bacon. Easier to read nutrition, like 80% less fat than pork and 6 grams of protein. Real wood smoke taste. Godshalls. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Claudia Ochoa Felix, the so-called Kim Kardashian of organized crime who ran El Chapo's assassination squad, has been found dead in Mexico. Authorities strongly believe she's murdered by her cartel rival, Consuelo de Vasquez, who is known as the Wendy Williams of organized crime.
Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Dennis Rodman claiming that Madonna had once offered him $20 million if he would get her pregnant. Apparently, Madonna strongly desired a child that could travel freely in North Korea.
Oh, my God.
And finally, little person porn star Bridget Powers, who goes by the professional name Bridget the Midget, was arrested after she stabbed her boyfriend during a fight at their Vegas home. Bridget reportedly told arresting officers that she was tired of her boyfriend always talking down to her.
All righty, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Who were the two Mediterranean men in Steve's sexual experience? I will go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good, bud. All right, so who were the two guys that were in Steve's sexual experience?
Hummus and pita.
Hummus and pita.
Yeah.
You got it, Mike. Hang on. We're going to get your information, and we have a pair of tickets in a suite for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway. That's October 6th. NASCAR returns to Dover October 4th to the 6th, and tickets start at $50, and kids' tickets are as low as $10. Get yours today at DoverSpeedway.com. We're going to get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Are you crazy?
All right, it's brought to you by Delaware Valley University. Advance your career with an accredited MBA from Delaware Valley University. Just 10 courses. More info at delval.edu/MBA10. Green Day has released the music video for its new single, Father of All. The track, which was unveiled last week, is set to appear on the trio's 13th studio album, also titled Father of All, or in its full iteration, it's Father of All Mother Effers. That's apparently the full name of it. Video places shots of the band in between edited historical footage and generations of rebellious dancers while the threesome play along against a menacing red backdrop.
So, it almost looks like Jailhouse Rock.
Agreed. And they're wearing kind of flashy jackets, and it has a very much an Elvis video appearance to it in the sequences where they flash to the band. Yeah. Father of All is out February 7th, 2020, by the way. Let's see. How about this? Bono has joined forces with the legendary street artist Shepard Fairey for a new initiative to raise awareness and money in the continued effort to rid the planet of AIDS. The YouTube frontman and co-founder of the global AIDS charity Red has enlisted the efforts of 17 artists to paint murals in Manhattan, Washington, D.C., Lyon, London, Berlin, and Paris in the lead up to the October 10th Global Fund Replenishment Conference. Bono has said in a statement that street artists have been raising the alarm in the fight against AIDS since HIV appeared from the streets in New York in the 1980s, and now in the next weeks in the cities around the world with Paint Red Saves Lives. There has been a lot of progress, more than many experts predicted, but not enough yet to put the sirens to rest. Young women continue to bear the brunt of this disease, and maddeningly, every week 6,000 of them are needlessly infected, and I'd call that an emergency. Red is the color of emergency. The artworks, by the way, are intended to engage and encourage political leaders to fully fund the fight against AIDS, with key sites getting transformed during this month and early October ahead of the Global Fund meeting that will determine funding for the next 3 years to help save 16 million lives while cutting mortality rate from HIV, TB, and malaria in half. Got to give it to Bono, man. The guy has stayed the course.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've stuck with it.
Yep, he has.
All the information is in our book.
Oh, in your book. Book. Did I say book?
No, before.
Sports book.
Sports book.
I was saying that yesterday.
If you want this great sports book.
Yeah. Eric Clapton's Crossroads Guitar Festival will be simulcast live. Shut up. On pay-per-view across North America on Saturday and Sunday. The festival, which has become legendary in its own right for hosting performances and impromptu collaborations from the world's most legendary guitar players, will play in the city that hosted the first ever festival. That's Dallas, Texas, at American Airlines Arena.
I saw in the Eric Clapton documentary, there's footage of him with B.B. King playing at this festival.
That was at the first phenomenal one.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Crossroads Guitar Festival has been held they only do it every 3 years since 2004 to raise funds for the Crossroads Center in Antigua, which is a treatment and education facility that Clapton founded in 1998 to help people suffering from chemical dependency. In addition to Clapton, listen to this lineup. This year, Jeff Beck, Peter Frampton, Joe Walsh, Johnny Lang, Bonnie Raitt, Derek Trucks, Vince Gill, Buddy Guy, Sheryl Crow, Jimmy Vaughn, Albert Lee, John Mayer, Billy Gibbons,
wow,
Gary Clark Jr., Robert Cray, Los Lobos, and a slew of other people will be on board.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So that is happening this weekend, by the way. We actually had a clip from From Peter Frampton.
It's from Peter Frampton.
That you had sent over.
Yeah, he's rapping. He's talking about wrapping up his tour, which will his, you know,
his
obviously
career.
He's doing this event, his career, yeah. But in San Francisco, and his and also a quote, a clip of him, his frustration of what's happening to his body.
Yeah, we have that?
Yeah, it's right here.
All right, here we go.
Wow, man, you can feel the pain.
That's, wow. If it's not sent over, just tell me.
It's not sent over.
Okay. then never mind. I have another clip that we're going to play around
so
with.
So he's going to be play San Francisco, and he feels sad.
Okay. So do we have the new Who song?
Yep. That's actually ready to go.
Okay. So it's called Ball and Chain. Nick has heard this, and you said it's really good.
It sounds like vintage Who. They okay. posted it on their YouTube channel last night, and I really dug it.
Let's check some of this out. We don't have time to play the whole song, but I do want to hear some of this and get the feel for this. Because I wasn't expecting new music from The Who, you know? I'm playing this note because it fits in well. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Roger still got a lot of punch left in that voice of his, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the two of those guys, really. But they're still cranking out new music and...
inventive.
Yeah, I dug it.
Nice. All right, and any word on when a new album comes out?
No, or? But Roger has been saying really positive things about this music. And he says it's his favorite album since Quadrophenia.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. All right, nice. Good to have them creating new music. And then one last thing. Big show next Saturday.
Oh, really?
A band called Saint is rocking Brittingham's and Lafayette Hill. Showtime's 8:30.
On. There's only one band out there that's keeping the flame of rock and roll burning. Their name is Saint.
That's my
Does
band.
The religious connotation, they keep the Lord in their music and the rock. God sings loudly. Check out their drummer with his new drum set.
That's right.
Thank you, Sam Ash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sam Ash and King of Prussia. That's where I bought
King
it.
King of Prussia Mall, large mall, selling many items.
Bono gets fired up on the strangest things.
Absolutely.
We're playing Brittingham's next Saturday.
His gourmet cheese sandwiches there. New mall. We always sort of feel a bit out of place.
So if you would like to come see my band, if you haven't seen us before, we will be there. I just want to give a little plug-a-rooney
thing. Yeah.
I'll be there from like 8:30 to 8:45.
Perfect. Come see Kathy Romano.
Kathy won't be there.
Yeah.
She's going to say she will to the last minute, and then something will come up. She'll have a little speaking engagement at Floral and Hardy.
Something will come up. I'll fall asleep.
She'll fall asleep with the wine and wake up with the stain on the carpet and go, oh, God.
Come see Kathy not show up to a gig at Brittingham's next Saturday. All right, anyhow, that's it for music news, friends. We're going to take a break. We will return, and when we do, Word of the Week prize. Going to give it away. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
MMR's Money Shark.
Money Shark.
Money Shark.
Money Shark.
Money Shark.
You might be sick of the song, but you're not sick of winning $1,000, are ya? And here's your chance to win cash 5 times a day. Weekdays, tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword. We give you 15 minutes to text the keyword to a special contest short code, 45911. You can also enter using the MMR mobile app or via WMMR.com, in which case we'll put your name in the hat for a $10,000 grand prize. MMR's Money Shark.
MMR. Money Shark.
Details at... All right, enough. Stop. Get the entry methods and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Brought to you by Horizon Services. 24-7 heating, cooling, and plumbing.
And by 93.3 WMMR.
Some thank yous are in order. I want to thank God Scholl's Turkey Bacon for coming by and giving us some goodies to supply for our guests that are hanging out here in the studio and our guests on the show, which was Mr. Dan Soder.
Yeah.
Dan is one of the funniest guys, period.
Yeah, he's great. He's just great, and he gets everything about radio and is super nice to boot.
Yep, agreed. So it was wonderful to have Dan by. He's going to be at Helium tonight, 7:30 and 10 o'clock, and then tomorrow the early show is sold out. There is a 10 o'clock show, though. You can get your tickets at heliumcomedy.com. So he was our one and only in-studio guest, so we thank him for being here. I guess we should do the letter of the day. So,
have our surprise
mystery guest.
Or Sasquatch.
Before he gets on the mic, his producer is in here. And I want to thank Pancake for being our DJ last night at the sorority party and Kathy's Bitch Box. Your first time at one of our sorority parties, right?
Yes, it was. Yes.
You have a good time?
I did.
Nice.
There was a lot of women there.
Yeah.
It was, by goodness, it was all women
yes,
there.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
You know what, though? Like, we say it all the time. It's these events where it's just women. It's, like, so easy and fun.
Is. It's much more light. It just seems much more... I don't know. Everybody's happy. It's very cool.
Well, yeah. They got a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's true. And there was booze there. So
yeah, sorority events are always like that, though. Yeah. There's less pressure. Like the mix, we love the mixers, but there's a different vibe.
The guys, I feel like, need to constantly be entertained. Where the girls, you can just give them a couple free things and a drink, and they're like, "This is great."
Boom. Yeah. Awesome.
What are you guys whispering about?
Thanks for being. Something's wrong with my headphones. Aww. So I'm sorry. It's technical.
Go back to where we were.
This out loud if you want. Go back to channel one. We'll try that out and see how that sounds. No, it's decidedly mono, which is very strange.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to retake the board.
All right. Thank you.
Retake the board.
Yeah. And we'll tell you all this stuff if you guys want.
Forget when Casey retook the board.
It sounds weird to me. That's better.
Yeah. Okay,
no, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because you guys were in here tinkering in our studio yesterday. Was that yesterday? It had to have been because I came in this morning, my seat was too high, and my headphones were all messed up.
Yeah. I actually cleaned afterwards.
Did you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I washed, but I didn't realize the seat was too high.
Oh, yeah. I banged my knees on you the first time I got in this morning. It's all right.
And the headphones. We had SDP in yesterday. They were on with us live, and then we came in here and recorded a national special.
Oh, cool.
For release in a couple of weeks. The 25th anniversary of Purple is coming up.
Who came by?
Robert and Eric.
Jeff? Oh, Eric. Okay, cool.
Yeah. You know, you hear these wild stories. Robert wrote Interstate Love Song in the back of a truck.
No kidding.
Yeah. In the back of a beat-up old truck. You just, you know, these great stories of where some of these amazing songs that we loved and lived with for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's why we were in here recording it, so we'd have a better audio quality. And then as soon as we sat down, we hear this drills outside as they're working on the building. And then Rodney goes, "I'll stop that." Nice. And with one call, it evaporated.
Wow, he's good like that.
Taken out.
Nice. Yeah, there's actually scaffolding outside of our window right now because they're building an atrium on the building.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have snipers in case we need to take somebody out like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rodney is a sniper.
Yeah. Hey, we should do the letter because I teased that a moment ago. You ready?
Did Pancake play good music yesterday?
Yes, he did.
He played great music. He was doing a fantastic job.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Now we can do the letter.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
S as in Sam.
All right, and we'll take caller number 7. like an S. 215-263-WMMR, and we will let you take a shot at giving us the word of the week. Let's see if you know it. 215-263-WMMR, like I said, caller number 7. That is what we're looking for. So what's coming up on this fine Friday, sir?
Action packed.
Bang.
Boom, kaboom, chaboom. It is the money thing. The Sharks will be swimming at 11 a.m. and then again at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Then I've got tickets for Bob Dylan, which went on sale a short moment ago, coming in November to the Met, where SDP played a great show, by the way, last night, and a great crowd there. Wonderful place to see a concert. And we'll do a block of Bob Dylan. Also, I have tickets for Green Day and Weezer, and that went on sale, as you guys mentioned, August 29th, coming up any day now in 2020. And I'll do a block of Weezer. Did a block of Green Day the other day. Do a block of Weezer today. And we'll get into a workforce block of Rancid because they're playing at the Electric Factory on Sunday. Got moved from the Mann Music Center, but that's going to be a great place to see them. So it'll be cool.
Wonderful. Hey, I want to mention Nick is out, broken leg and all, 2 times this weekend, right?
Yeah, man. I got Dick's Sporting Goods tomorrow. It's noon to 2 at the new Plymouth Meeting Mall
location.
Oh, my
location. God. You're going to be in Plymouth Meeting?
I am.
I'm not going to be.
All right. You could be there in between like 1:45 and 2.
No, I'm not.
But I'll be there from noon to 2. And so that's the brand new Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hey, and by the way, that they're really stepping things up. We've talked about the Plymouth Meeting Mall for a long time.
I'm happy to hear that.
I think that this is going to do it. And Dick's is part of it. It looks really nice. I didn't even realize that it was open yet.
Yeah. So, it's the grand opening tomorrow. So there you go. And that's noon to 2. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the new Fashion District in Philadelphia, which is, I think, 8th and Market and 9th and Market. We're going to be there for a Birds Pep Rally. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it is going to be outside, Casey. You had asked earlier.
Oh,
so
okay,
it's
cool.
Right on the corner of 9th and Market. The MMR Army will be there.
It'll be a beautiful day.
Yeah, gorgeous day. And it'll be right up until Birds time. So you can come by, swing by, say hello, and then go home and watch the Eagles game.
Wonderful. All right, we'll see if we can get our winner. We're looking for caller number 7, and that is Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Prismo, what's up, buddy?
Yo, buddy, we are looking for that word. Do you know it?
Yes. What James.
James?
A-A-M-E-S. James.
Great day in the morning.
And that's the one, Dan. All right, so.
Yeah, baby.
This is pretty solid, dude. We have 10 tickets to Dorney Park.
Wow.
Plus, your entire group gets to ride in a real monster truck with reserve line passes, and you can strap in for an unforgettable ride aboard the all-new 10-passenger Gravedigger or Megalodon truck.
Cool.
On a freestyle-inspired course. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, Presbo. I love you guys.
Thanks, man. Hang on. We're going to set you up, buddy. Hang on the line. By the
great
way,
name.
The Presbo thing, I get it everywhere.
Do you really?
Everywhere I go, Pierre, it's like, you know, it's a nickname now. It's your, they're my buddy. So
yeah.
I get Presbo constantly.
I love that.
It is officially caught on. So
sometimes on your recorded commercials in the computer, it'll tell us which DJ's reading it. And
are you serious?
Kevin puts Presbo.
Nice.
That's great.
I love it. Anyhow, don't miss any of the excitement they have or the activities for the Full Throttle Fun and the whole family at info@dorneypark.com/monsterjam. I'll take this moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by LaSalle University's next open house. That's Saturday, September 21st. You can register at lasalle.edu/open house. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Next week on this program, we'll have Dirty Honey in the studio.
Dirty Honey!
We'll have a Not Your Average Listener stopping by.
Awesome.
And Donnell Rawlings is going to be here.
Awesome. Love him.
Yeah, so those things and more. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Corn is not a vegetable. It's a modified grass like wheat. Don't have no sense of science.
Next message. Thank God for marijuana, or I would be the most road ragingest motherfucker you ever met right now. Thank you, baby Jesus.
Next message.
President Steve, President Steve, President Steve,
the Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434.
1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.